Think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Trivia is better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical, knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends at a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff members of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. I got to get me some ribs. It is Sunday, you know. And
no comment on that one. Wow. That just
and hey. It begins.
Yeah, it begins. We were just having, you know, the I guess we could say that vagina dialogues.
Yeah, the vagina dialogues.
Yeah, the Trump vagina dialogues. Boy, I tell you, they can't make this stuff up. But you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, and I am your host, Mark Kent, once again. And you can call in at 605-4567, or you can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Today is Sunday, once again, October 9th, I believe, 2016. And I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, a producer, trusted producer, soundboard operator, all-around great guy.
Reminding you, the podcast is over. We're on the air, and the dump button is now in effect.
And also, Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, becoming a rapid descendant of the unfunded pit of hell of a non-existent recovery that has been the mantra of prostitutes by self-serving politicians and banksters.
Yep.
I kind of switched that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it still works as identifier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are streaming worldwide again. Go to the chat room, kcnr1460.com or 530-605-4567 if you have a question or a comment and you want to call in. Let's see. Reading Patriots meet every Monday night at 6 p.m. I believe that we're having who is it?
Kathy Darling.
Kathy Darling, yes. She is the Shasta County Register's. I'm sorry, from the Shasta County Register's office. What is her exact title again?
I believe it's clerk and elections officer.
What is she, elections officer?
Mm-hmm.
Clerk? Somebody could call in or hit the chat room with that. Anyway, she will be there on Monday, and she's, if you have any voting questions, voter fraud, absentee ballots.
She's the Shasta County clerk.
Shasta County clerk. There you go. How the votes are counted, when military ballots are sent out, vote by mail, are you registering to vote, are you dead and vote, what's the old saying, go, vote early, vote often.
Mm-hmm.
All those questions can be answered on Monday night, and of course there's no voter fraud anywhere, is there?
Never.
Never.
Not even a smidgen.
Not even a smidgen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could open up a can of worms. Or a can of whoop ass. So,
or a plate of ribs.
A plate of ribs, yeah.
All right, leave the ribs alone. Enough for the ribs, okay?
Yeah,
we give me some of that ribs.
just the double standard is mind boggling. We've got Donald Trump on one side with locker room talk. I didn't even listen to the whole thing because it was like, who cares? And on the other side, we've got Hillary Clinton, and she's high treason, servers, blah, 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 blah. But, oh, gosh, the guy in a private conversation 20 years ago gets dug up and somehow branded some kind of something that nobody's going to vote for him. So you're going to vote for Hillary now? It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's the RNC's pulling funding from him over it. As if 8 years of Obama wasn't enough of watching the Republican Party bow, cower, and scrape as this guy has surrendered the country. Wasn't enough to teach the Republican Party who they're electing and what these no-good, bought-off corporate rhino wimps are. This has got to show them something. 4 weeks before the election you do this? Over what?
This is Hillary's October surprise.
Yeah. No, it's Paul Ryan's October surprise.
And let's see, at the same time, I guess we
Eddie
ignored
Munster the, looking a little.
We ignored the whole WikiLeaks dump where it showed that TARP bail money from that went to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and all the banks and all these guys got kickbacks, and it shows a list of all of our politicians that it got kickbacks to, basically bribes from the TARP money. That's not news, is it? That's not important. Let's talk about what Donald Trump said in a private conversation that was eavesdropped, overheard, and nobody else has even talked trash like in a locker room, have you?
Well, let's put it into perspective, is because really what we have is we now know that Donald Trump likes vagina and likes to touch it. We know that Bill Clinton claims he never has and never did.
And didn't inhale either.
And didn't inhale. We know that Hillary Clinton thinks that she ought to run the country because she has a vagina. We know that Gary Johnson from the Libertarians probably unsure what a vagina is or who has one.
Or he is one.
And maybe one himself. And we know that Jill Stein as well likes vagina and likes to touch it.
There. Yeah, so
have we clarified that for everybody now?
Yeah, and so let's just forget about all of that espionage and that treason stuff because and all of that bribery, and kickbacks, and corruption.
And
let's talk about we could do a play, the Vagina Dialogues.
Yeah, and the fact that there's a good chance that our first lady doesn't actually have a vagina.
Well.
I'm going to leave that one totally alone.
Got to get me some ribs.
Got to get me some ribs.
Yeah. And
we're going to hell.
I never inhaled, and I never had sex with that woman. Who was he talking about, Hillary? And who knows? Chelsea could be a love child of somebody like Vince Foster. You never know.
You never know.
You know. But so with all of that said, I did send you a couple of links there, Bob. One is from Cheryl Atkinson. I think go ahead and cue that up, and we'll get ready for that one. It's kind of interesting. She talks about how the media propaganda machine. Now, this is somebody, this is Cheryl Atkinson. I don't know if anybody's, familiar with Cheryl Atkinson, but she was kind of, I think she actually is a Pulitzer Prize winner, and she was on the ABC Fast and, or the CBS, I don't know. They all run together. ABC, CBS, NBC, FOX. They're all a bunch of crap, most of it anyway, because it's all propaganda and lies. And so she talks a little bit about some of this stuff, which is quite interesting. But before we go there, we've got Gary on the line. We might as well get
good
to him.
Morning, Gary.
Good morning.
You have a question or comment for us this morning?
Yes. On the national scene, Trump said it, Bill did it, Hillary defended it.
Yeah?
That's a little bit more eloquent than the way we put it. But yeah.
Well, what do you expect from an English teacher?
Well, I know. I mean.
Okay. In the vice presidential bit, it was Cain and Abel. That's spelled A-B-L-E because Pence was definitely very able and buried Cain.
Well, I think that it was a complete smoke of Tim Cain. Robert had some theories on who he looked like. He looked like the guy in Galaxy Quest.
He does.
But, I forget what they called those guys. But
the Lutherians or the...
Lutherians, yeah.
Thumarians.
Thumarians, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like the guy Ted.
Unhinged. In another body.
Creepy.
Creepy, yeah. I heard creepy a bunch of times.
Or if you've seen the movie Deadpool, he looks like the evil recruiter from the movie Deadpool, too.
There was another one he looked like, too. It'll come up. Anyway, so it's just, I am so sick. And we get to see another one tonight. Let's see what the debate is tonight. Should we have? Is it going to be like a smash and grab robbery? Is it going to be? Somebody's got pre-planned questions. They've bought off the debater,
moderator.
The moderator. And the only question now is who's going to be the master debater?
All right. Another thing, if I may bring it locally for those people just tuning in, locally, the city council, current and those that are running for city council, with the exception of Gary Cadd, all of those council people are against the state of Jefferson, with the exception of Cadd. He's for it. All those other people are against it. So the question, what will Redding do in the state of Jefferson, or because of the state of Jefferson, or in spite of the state of Jefferson, just to keep it local? And I think the same applies to the Board of Supervisors when Chappelle is the only one in favor of Jefferson and the others are not. So voters, keep that in mind when you're wondering what to do. So I will sign off. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Gary. We appreciate that.
Very good. So we've got this queued up with the...
He's the only English teacher still speaking to us, by the way.
Okay. So we're a little, crass around the edges. But, after a while, you just get... The political correct crap just gets old.
It does.
By
the way, if you want more on this fascinating topic, go to the Drudge Report this morning.
Yeah, the get some ribs thing.
That ribs video is on there. I can't play it on the radio.
Yeah, so I guess that to let everybody know that we were joking about it, but evidently, President Obama had said some off-color stuff about
Back in 1975, I believe it was.
Getting him some ribs and some donkey, you know.
Well, I don't know if donkey was in that
You know, what's another word for donkey?
Go to Drudge.
Go to Drudge.
So,
but it was way back in 75 that he made the comments. He was making a speech. I'm not sure where he was at the time, but yeah.
Yeah, but that just gets overlooked.
Who cares?
That's it.
One of the best situations that I've seen since this came up is I was having a conversation with my brother, and we were talking about the Trump thing, and one of our other buddies called my brother on the phone, and so because we were talking about it, they started talking about the Trump thing, and I can hear our buddy on the other end of the phone going, oh, that's not true. All guys aren't like that. They don't talk like that. You know, a real man doesn't degrade women. And my brother just goes, your wife's standing right there, isn't she? Because there is not a man that is going to look me in the eye and say that you have never talked like that around the boys or had that locker room kind of discussion. And women, let's be honest, sitting around at Olive Garden, a couple wine, glasses of wine in you, I've heard some of your conversations, too.
I'm not going to make any comment on that one.
Do you want me to look you in the eye?
Can you say liars?
I like it when you look at me in the eye.
Well, you know, and so this we got this clip. Let's play this Atkinson thing real quick, and then we'll go to a break. You know, Atkinson, you know, Cheryl, you know, she began her broadcasting career and as a reporter in, you know, Florida, I think it was, in Gainesville. She worked as an anchor and reporter for a station in Fort Pierce, West Palm Beach. CBS affiliate, Columbus, Ohio. She was an anchor for CNN.
She the one that got fired for telling the truth too much?
She actually quit.
Yeah.
You know, Atkinson left CNN in 93, moved to CBS, where she anchored the television news broadcast CBS News Up to the Minute and became the investigative correspondent based in Washington, D.C. You know, served as University of Florida's Journalism College Advisory Board. You know, so she's got an outstanding achievement award. She never won a Pulitzer, I guess I was mistaken. But, you know, she's been an investigative reporter, done a bunch of stuff, you know, for years.
Doing that job that you're supposed to do to get the information out to the people?
Yeah. Yeah, she's also the one that came up with the claim that, you know, Hillary, you know, claimed, remember, she dodged sniper fire. But then all of a sudden, there was no real bullets. And
it wasn't true. She made it all up.
She started reporting on the troubled asset relief program, the TARP program, bank bailout. You know, all this stuff went to. So anyway, she's doing an interview here. I don't think that's it, Bob.
No, that's the 1970.
Oh, he's got Obama pulled up there.
Yeah, that's about getting some ribs.
I was trying to find the year on it because our alert caller pointed out that Obama would have been 14 years old in 1975, so it was probably a little later than that.
Well, it depends on whether you're going by the Kenyan birth certificate.
The video looked like he was speaking at Harvard.
That's another one.
Yeah,
that whole birth certificate
that's right,
thing.
Bob. It was when he was at Harvard and he was speaking.
There couldn't be nothing to the fact that his father was a Kenyan national, which disqualifies him under the Natural Born Citizen Clause. I mean, they haven't avoided that one, have they? Has anybody investigated that? Interesting. But all we talk about is whether he was born in Hawaii or not. Completely immaterial.
Well, the lady that knew died.
Well, it doesn't even matter if he's born in Hawaii or born in Kenya. The real deal is his father was a Kenyan national by his own admission, which means that you are not eligible to be the president of the United States under the Natural Born Citizen Clause in the Constitution. Vattel's Law of Nations, 218, you know, go look it up. They said both parents had to be citizens because they wanted him to have allegiance to the United States, not some foreign country, because he was going to be in charge of the army. You wanted to make sure. Look at what we've got. Can anybody tell me that Obama's allegiance is to the United States at this point? Or is it to some global, globalist agenda? I don't know. Anyway, let's go to the clip. This is Cheryl Atkinson. She's talking at a TED. I'm not sure what TED is exactly.
It's a series of documentaries and talks of intellectuals, leading-edge scientists, things like that. They discuss all kinds of different stuff.
That's it. Okay. So she's at this doing a presentation, and she's talking about the media bias and AstroTurf and all that kind of stuff. I think it's very enlightening when somebody who's been in this journalistic arena for a long time, this is what she had to say. Go ahead and roll the clip, Bob. This is at the University of Nevada.
So, consider this fictitious example that's inspired by real life. Say you're watching the news and you see a story about a new study on the cholesterol-lowering drug called Cholextra. The study says Cholextra is so effective that doctors should consider prescribing it to adults and even children who don't yet have high cholesterol. Is it too good to be true? You're smart. You decide to do some of your own research. You do a Google search. You consult social media, Facebook and Twitter. You look at Wikipedia, WebMD, a nonprofit website, and you read the original study in a peer-reviewed published medical journal. It all confirms how effective Cholextra is. You do run across a few negative comments and a potential link to cancer, but you dismiss that because medical experts call the cancer link a myth and say that those who think there is a link there are quacks and cranks and nuts. Finally, you learn that your own doctor recently attended a medical seminar. The lecture that he attended confirmed how effective Cholextra is, so he sends you off with some free samples and a prescription. You've really done your homework. But what if all isn't as it seems? What if the reality you found was false? A carefully constructed narrative by unseen special interests designed to manipulate your opinion. A Truman Show-esque alternate reality all around you. Complacency in the news media combined with incredibly powerful propaganda and publicity forces mean we sometimes get little of the truth. Special interests have unlimited time and money to figure out new ways to spin us while cloaking their role. Surreptitious astroturf methods are now more important to these interests than traditional lobbying of Congress. There's an entire industry built around it in Washington. What is astroturf? It's a perversion of grassroots. As in fake grassroots. AstroTurf is when political, corporate, or other special interests disguise themselves and publish blogs, start Facebook and Twitter accounts, publish ads, letters to the editor, or simply post comments online to try to fool you into thinking an independent or grassroots movement is speaking. The whole point of AstroTurf is to try to give the impression there's widespread support for or against an agenda when there's not. AstroTurf seeks to manipulate you into changing your opinion by making you feel as if you're an outlier when you're not. One example is the Washington Redskins name. Without taking a position on the controversy, if you simply were looking at news media coverage over the course of the past year or looking at social media, you'd probably have to conclude that most Americans find that name offensive and think it ought to be changed. But what if I told you 71% of Americans say the name should not be changed? That's more than two-thirds. AstroTurfers seek to controversialize those who disagree with them. They attack news organizations that publish stories they don't like, whistleblowers who tell the truth, politicians who dare to ask the tough questions, and journalists who have the audacity to report on all of it. Sometimes AstroTurfers simply shove intentionally so much confusing and conflicting information into the mix that you're left to throw up your hands and disregard all of it, including the truth. Drown out a link between a medicine and a harmful side effect, say vaccines and autism, by throwing a bunch of conflicting paid-for studies, surveys, and experts into the mix, confusing the truth beyond recognition. And then there's Wikipedia. AstroTurf's dream come true. Billed as the free encyclopedia that anyone can edit, the reality can't be more different. Anonymous Wikipedia editors control and co-opt pages on behalf of special interests. They forbid and reverse edits that go against their agenda. They skew and delete information in blatant violation of Wikipedia's own established policies with impunity, always superior to the poor schlubs who actually believe anyone can edit Wikipedia, only to discover they're barred from correcting even the simplest factual inaccuracies. Try adding a footnoted fact or correcting a fact error on one of these monitored Wikipedia pages and poof, sometimes within a matter of seconds, you'll find your edit is reversed. In 2012, famed author Philip Roth tried to correct a major fact error about the inspiration behind one of his book characters cited on a Wikipedia page. But no matter how hard he tried, Wikipedia's editors wouldn't allow it. They kept reverting the edits back to the false information. When Roth finally reached a person at Wikipedia, which was no easy task, and tried to find out what was going wrong, they told him he simply was not considered a credible source on himself. A few weeks later, there was a huge scandal when Wikipedia officials got caught offering a PR service that skewed and edited information on behalf of paid, publicity-seeking clients in utter opposition to Wikipedia's supposed policies. All of this may be why, when a medical study looked at medical conditions described on Wikipedia pages and compared it to actual peer-reviewed published research, Wikipedia contradicted medical research 90% of the time. You may never fully trust what you read on Wikipedia again, nor should you. Let's now go back to that fictitious Calextra example and all the research you did. It turns out the Facebook and Twitter accounts you found that were so positive were actually written by paid professionals hired by the drug company to promote the drug. The Wikipedia page had been monitored by an agenda editor also paid by the drug company. The drug company also arranged to optimize Google search engine results, so it was no accident that you stumbled across that positive nonprofit that had all those positive comments. The nonprofit was, of course, secretly founded and funded by the drug company. The drug company also financed that positive study and used its power of editorial control to omit any mention of cancer as a possible side effect. Once more, each and every doctor who publicly touted Calextra or called the cancer link a myth or ridiculed critics as paranoid cranks and quacks or served on the government advisory board that approved the drug, each of those doctors is actually a paid consultant for the drug company. As for your own doctor, the medical lecture he attended that had all those positive evaluations was, in fact, like many continuing medical education classes, sponsored by the drug company. And when the news reported on that positive study, it didn't mention any of that. I have tons of personal examples from real life. A couple of years ago, CBS News asked me to look into a story about a study coming out from the nonprofit National Sleep Foundation. Supposedly, this press release coming out said, "The study concluded we're a nation with an epidemic of sleeplessness and we don't even know it, and we should all go ask our doctors about it." A couple of things struck me about that. First, I recognized the phrase, "ask your doctor," as a catchphrase promoted by the pharmaceutical industry. They know that if they can get your foot through the door of the doctor's office to mention a malady, you're very likely to be prescribed the latest drug that's marketed. Second, I wondered how serious an epidemic of sleeplessness could really be if we don't even know that we have it. Right? It didn't take long for me to do a little research and discover that the National Sleep Foundation nonprofit and the study, which was actually a survey, not a study, were sponsored in part by a new drug that was about to be launched onto the market called Lunesta, a sleeping pill. I reported the study as CBS News asked, but of course I disclosed the sponsorship behind the nonprofit and the survey so that viewers could weigh the information accordingly. All the other news media reported the same survey directly off the press release as written without digging past the superficial. It later became an example written up in the Columbia Journalism Review, which quite accurately reported that only we at CBS News had bothered to do a little bit of research and disclose the conflict of interest behind this widely reported survey. So now you may be thinking, what can I do? I thought I'd done my research. What chance do I have separating fact from fiction, especially if seasoned journalists with years of experience can be so easily fooled? Well, I have a few strategies that I can tell you about to help you recognize signs of propaganda and astroturf. Once you start to know what to look for, you'll begin to recognize it everywhere. First, hallmarks of astroturf include use of inflammatory language such as crank, quack, nutty, lies, paranoid, pseudo, and conspiracy. Astroturfers often claim to debunk myths that aren't myths at all. Use of the charged language tests well. People hear something's a myth, maybe they find it on Snopes, and they instantly declare themselves too smart to fall for it. But what if the whole notion of the myth is itself a myth and you and Snopes fell for that. Beware when interests attack an issue by controversializing or attacking the people, personalities, and organizations surrounding it rather than addressing the facts. That could be AstroTurf. And most of all, AstroTurfers tend to reserve all of their public skepticism for those exposing wrongdoing rather than the wrongdoers. In other words, instead of questioning authority, they question those who question authority. You might start to see things a little more clearly. It's kind of like taking off your glasses and wiping them and putting them back on and realizing for the first time how foggy they've been all along. I can't resolve these issues, but I hope that I've given you some information that will at least motivate you to take off your glasses and wipe them and become a wiser consumer of information in an increasingly artificial, paid-for reality. Thank you.
Yeah, we want to thank Lori for that clip. I think that clip said a lot, and I think it says a lot about the pervasive prostitution of our press, about the manipulation of the computer, supposed standards of fact checks, you know, Wikipedia, Snopes.
They're known and caught liars, Snopes, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you can't verify any information. People look, oh, I got a lot of Snopes. I have a Snoop check that his birth certificate doesn't matter. Really?
Well, like she said,
doesn't George Soros or some Soros-backed company own Snopes?
I believe so.
It does now, yes.
I think he owns everything.
Well, as she pointed out, and, you know, very rightfully so, when you see the evening news, more than likely you're not watching news, you're watching a paid-for infomercial.
Propaganda.
It is, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like the old FEAR acronym, you know, false evidence appearing real. And that's what these guys are experts at, is false evidence and making it appear real. Because otherwise, you know, if you knew the truth, I mean, you know, Henry Ford said if the American people ever found out what the banking system was doing, they would revolt in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've been doing this a long time. I mean, they've been working at it and then are entrenched deeply, especially in the media and even on the internet.
And who's
I mean,
they
it's
all
everyone.
Went to school together.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. And we say, who's they? Well, we're talking about the politicians and the big corporate interests that have been in bed together.
And the media executives.
You know that half the guys, and probably more than half, I'd have to pull the number up and look at the articles that I've read. You know, the guys that are in power at these media places are, you know, relatives. You know, like Rahm Emanuel, his brother, you know, is in media. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, the, you know, special assistant to the White House. His brother is one of the chief executives over at CBS. And like you said, they are all related directly through blood, or they all went to Columbia or Stanford Business School, and they were in the same classes. They were in the same clubs. They were in the I did one that I was looking at, and the number of individuals that are in the quote-unquote media outlets of the administration and directly in the media as executive producers, things like that, the number of those people that went to the same college, which was Columbia or Stanford, at the same time, were in the same social clubs, the same career paths, they all know each other.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't that?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and you can look this stuff up and you can do your homework, and that's really what it takes anymore, because you can't rely on any of the mainstream press. I mean, we did a little segment last week on propaganda. We live in the age of propaganda right now, where, you know, finding the truth is the problem, because you got, you know, one side that exaggerates one way and you got another side exaggerates the other way, you know, and a lot of people got dogs in the hunt here. And, you know, you're getting from the media, which is only owned by like six companies, a narrative that's being channeled down your throat. You know, the whole media narrative about Donald Trump being such a bad guy and Hillary Clinton being such a great gal. I mean, unbelievable how – I mean, it's almost to the point of stupidity.
It's sickening that, you know, where they've gone with it. It's total sickening that – and people are watching that.
Yeah.
And believing it. How can you believe it? I mean, it's time after time. Even – the evidence of the lies are there, and people look the other way in the media.
Well, first rule is people are stupid. They will believe anything because they're afraid that it's true or they want it to be true.
Well, you know.
Well, they get lazy.
There's a lot of smart guys out there. And there's, you know, again, there's 35% or whatever that vote for a pet rock, and they are stupid. But there's a whole bunch of other people that aren't stupid that are being misdirected and misled as well. So,
and it's getting worse. They're stepping up the attacks big time. You know, for a while there, the civilian media, the citizen media groups were finding the light of day. They were getting information out. They were getting out of it. And now they are getting buried under this avalanche of clickbait news where these supposed conservative groups and conservative blogs and conservative online newspapers are just flooding the internet with crap.
Right.
And people are looking at the, you know, the tagline, oh, conservative news, that's got to be a legitimate article. And they go and they spread it out there, and then they are easily debunked, and they look like a fool, and they lose their credibility. And that avenue of attack has accelerated greatly, even just over the last couple of weeks. It's just flooded with it. And before you believe anything, if you've already gone and done your due diligence, you know who your source is, you've vetted your source, you know where their money comes from, you know who their employees are, you know who their producers are, okay, put that in your trusted column and monitor them. Make sure they don't get sold. Make sure they don't get bought out or you know, brought under. But, okay, now you can put that in your column. But before you trust any news source, who are their reporters? Where did the reporters come from? Who are their executive producers? Where do they get their money from? You know, one of the biggest ones out there that kind of came up out of nowhere is this Superstation 95 out of New York.
Right.
Okay, and I saw a lot of people jump onto it and listen in, you know, you can click and you can listen to live radio shows and everything. Well, through investigation, Superstation 95 is not even a radio station in New York. I went through the FCC list looking for the owner of the permit. There is no Station 95 in New York. It is a live streaming podcast. So that's the first deception.
Well, they were the ones that were running the Russian bunker stories.
Yes.
And about how, you know,
we were launching our airborne commands, and they were running all of these things. And so I get looking into it, and this website is owned essentially by a group of lawyers, and they're civil defense attorneys. And I'm going, why are the civil defense attorneys want to put propaganda out there? Well, it turns out that they're the lawyers for this guy named Hal Turner, who is a notorious white supremacist that was arrested on all kinds of charges and became an FBI snitch. That's the guy that's running this and putting out this conservative news information.
Unbelievable. You've got,
and that took some digging, you know, but that's what you have to do anymore to find out what you're doing or find legitimate sources that you know that you can trust and listen to. I hear a lot of talk about, oh, we need to clean up our media. Yeah, how's that going to work? About the same way that we're cleaning up our government? It's time to hit the reset button. Instead of, you know, butting your head against the media sources like the Record Searchlight that you know are in the tank.
Right.
Support and enable good, clean media.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what needs to happen. And people that are actually seeking the truth, you know, that are trying to figure out what the truth is to report, you know, what's really happening out there. And we got example after example. I mean, the mainstream media, Deutsche Bank, you got, you know.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Deutsche Bank, I'm sorry. And then you've got, you know, the Monetary Fund added the Chinese yuan to the SDR's special drawing rights basket of currencies. I mean, there's some big things going on here. We're almost on the cusp of war with Russia in the Middle East with Syria and all this crap.
Well, that's what I was going to say. People need to look beyond that, because look at the big picture of it, and where are the, you know, what are they doing on the other side of this that you better be watching out for instead of being so caught up in this other crap that's going on with the media, because there's a lot more things, bigger things going on. we stand to lose a lot from.
Well, what happens, though, is people just get completely desensitized after a while. After a while, I just don't know who to believe, so I don't care anymore, and I'm just going to live my life and leave me alone. I mean, and in the meantime, you know, the wolves are at the door, and so they don't realize that some of this is going to affect them dramatically if they don't get involved, and that's what the mainstream prostitutes are doing. That's what they're trying to do.
Keep them busy.
Just keep everybody busy. Watch the little ball over here while, you know, it's all about distraction and deflection. You know, I mean, the example of Hillary's campaign is just, I mean, rampant with that. Here, watch the little ball over here. Keep your eye on this little ball while, you know, don't you know, even think about the fact that, you know, we've got the blob over here expanding and can.
Well, that's her whole life. Yeah. Has been that way. Hillary's whole life has been that way.
They're not media. They're corporate marketing.
Right.
They're marketing.
Exactly.
Well, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back and regroup. We've got a lot more to cover. I'm not sure if we have a guest today.
Yeah, we have a couple guests today at about 10 o'clock.
We've got Brandy Hawkins from Oregon 3% at 10.
And then we have, I believe it's Vince Stevenson, and he's coming in to let us know what's going on Veterans Hall about a forum going on. I think it's for people running for office and stuff like that. Yeah. So he's going to let us know what's happening down there. So with that, if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are, it seems, sadly in search of, and one step and back of themselves and their slow moving dreams. Cowboys are special with their own brand of misery.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals, and remember, PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600 or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with me, John Whitmarsh from Access Mortgage. We know how to say approved. I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience. So call me today at 945-9660. Let's get you into your dream home.
Access Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1096314.
This is Joe McKenna from CloudWise Academy. I learned a lot the hard way about internet marketing. Every month, I'll help you take control of how the internet impacts your business and your revenue. You'll hear the latest tech news from the digital world, but most importantly, get your tech and marketing questions answered. Learn what you need to know to manage the tech side of your business as effectively as you manage everything else. It's your chance to get those important questions answered. Join us for the Digital Revolution Radio Show every fourth Wednesday at KCNR 1460.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR 1460 AM.
Yeah, we've been kind of going on a little bit of a rant here about Well, you know, nothing unusual. But this whole comparison of, I mean, it's like Bill Clinton, Hillary, and Donald Trump, like they're in the same league. It's like that's all you got is 10 years ago locker room talk. Treason, espionage, you know.
Murder.
Murder. I mean, good God.
Where does it list end?
Oh, but the guy talked dirty in a private conversation 10 years ago. He's a bad guy. He's not worth president. You know, you can't put that guy in the White House. But let's put a treasonous traitor, you know,
and look what she,
corrupt,
look what
bribery.
Hillary did to that little girl way back when.
Yeah.
How soon they forget about, what was she, 12, 13 years old?
Yeah, and look.
And we haven't even started talking about Bill yet.
Yeah. Mm.
So.
Let's talk about Hillary Clinton's attachment to the white supremacist movement in America.
I mean, yeah, she's got pictures of her hugging the Grand Dragon or kissing him or whoever.
Well, when she said that Senator Byrd was a personal mentor, she really meant that. She wasn't just being nice.
But what's wrong with being a communist, corrupt, treasonous?
She's not a communist.
Oh, no, no. She's a,
she's a fascist.
A fascist, progressive?
She is a fascist, right-wing supremacist. Or left-wing supremacist, actually, would be the correct term.
So we're not really sure whether she swings right or left, right?
Is that what you're saying? Well, technically it would be left-wing. Nazis are left-wing.
So I'm just saying that we're not sure whether she swings right or left, right?
All right.
I think she's a switch hitter.
Do not take the bait.
No. And with that, we...
I mean, we got the... You've heard the term carpetbagger?
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway,
yep. With that,
New York Yankee carpetbagger. That'd be her.
Yeah. All right. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Nick.
It is a good morning. Hey, you know, if I was the, if I was Trump and his crew, I'd run an ad nonstop quoting why Hillary Clinton was fired from the Watergate Committee. It had something to do with circumventing the Constitution,
lying,
being dishonest.
Yeah,
do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And if you check up on Snopes, they'll tell you that never happened.
Yeah, well, you know,
that's
why
amazing.
Don't they bring that up?
Yeah, it did.
I mean, she hasn't changed a bit since then.
No, that's
and
true.
I was listening. I
just
was
got
listening
worse.
Yeah, that's for sure. I was listening to you talk about how dishonest our media was. And you mentioned that we should be getting our information from good, clean media. Can you give me an example of any good, clean media?
Zero Hedge.
Excuse me?
Zero Hedge.
You're listening to it.
Yeah.
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 I don't know how clean
Zero
we are.
Hedge, Shasta Lantern, Canadian Free Press, Flash Report, California Political Review.
I've never heard of the Flash Report. I've gone to the Canadian Free Press for a long time, and that's a... Actually, Pamela Giller is a really good one also. But really, the reason I called, I wanted to give you an experience I had yesterday. Down here behind Rayleigh's, where we're really shut down on Hartnell, there's a riffle back there on the Henderson Open Space. I've fished that riffle for 50 years, since I was in seventh grade. And I went down there to see if the salmon were on the nest yet. And you wouldn't believe what a stinky mess it is down there.
It's a shooting gallery.
I wouldn't go down there if I wasn't armed. I'd advise everybody not to go down there if they're not armed. I had one guy eyeing me from about 50 yards away, and I expected him to come over and say something. And about halfway in, I hear what sounds like a party going on down there, and there was no lack of profanity. I couldn't see these guys in the bushes, but, boy, I'll tell you, you sure don't feel safe. There's trails going everywhere, and it smells like a latrine.
It almost sounds like bear hunting in Alaska.
Well, you know, the thing is, I can only think that they let it go to hell down there to rub it in our face that we need that sales tax. Because a couple of years ago when they put on that guy, I think his name was Mike Thomas, and he was going to go around and rout out the homeless and get them off our public spaces, and they claimed they did such a good job. And I was at one of the businessmen meetings, and I asked Paletti, I said, I hear you guys run them off, and they're right back in the next day. And old Thomas, he stood up, no, no, that's not true. We're getting them out of there, and they're not coming back. And you know what happened? Their shopping carts down there, didn't they pass a code that was going to take care of the shopping carts?
I think so.
It's just getting frustrating that they're letting them take over our community like that. When all they have to do is enforce the laws that we have, there's an anti-camping law in the city limits. You know, that ought to be reason enough to move them along. And I hear these people say, well, if you don't vote for this sales tax, you're voting for the status quo. You're not doing anything. Well, we are doing something. We're putting out the welcome mat for these people. We need to get rid of that homeless magnet south of town. And not let them feel welcome here.
Well, let's
agree with that.
I think we should just have a bunch more refugees come in from Syria. That'll clean it up.
Hey, well, you know, you've got a thought there.
And the problem is, Nick, it's not just there. It's getting where it's, you know, all over the city now. It's everywhere you go almost.
Well, it's up and down the West Coast. I started talking to this one guy that was down there by himself. And he'd been traveling up and down the West Coast for the last 2 years. I asked him, you know, what happened to him.
Nick,
they're going to cut us off here because we're at the top of the hour. So it's not us. They will automatically cut us off. So if you want to hold...
It's Bob. Blame Bob.
He said that Redding's the worst place he's seen.
It is the worst city in the United States as far as crime goes.
The dirtiest as far as the homeless taking over and ruining our beautiful environment. Have a great day. And
thanks for calling in, and we're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second hour of Sovereign Minds. This has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
This is KCNR Shasta Ready, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino.
Several prominent GOP lawmakers and other supporters are calling on Trump to quit the race, but he told major newspapers and posted on Twitter that he will never quit, and he claims to continue to have tremendous support. This latest revelation comes in advance of Sunday night's debate here in Missouri. Greg Clugston, St. Louis.
Today, Trump is blasting his GOP opponents on Twitter, saying, quote, so many self-righteous hypocrites watch their poll numbers and elections go down. Trump and Hillary Clinton debate at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Hurricane Matthew is now a post-tropical cyclone and moving gradually out to sea, but the danger is not over.
Maximum sustained winds of 75 miles per hour. So it still makes it of hurricane force, even though it's post-tropical. It's moving toward the east at 14 miles per hour, and we expect it to move farther away very gradually from the North Carolina coast today, but those strong winds are going to be slow to drop off.
Todd Kimberlane at the National Hurricane Center. 15 deaths are attributed to the big storm in the U.S., and it will take some time for communities in Florida and the Carolinas to recover. Authorities say a boat capsized in San Francisco Bay yesterday, sending five adults and three children to a hospital. One five-year-old boy who was unconscious and not breathing when he was drawn out of the water was eventually revived and is expected to make a full recovery. Israeli authorities say a Palestinian motorist launched a shooting rampage today near police headquarters in Jerusalem, wounding eight people, two of them seriously, before being shot to death himself. The attacker first sped toward a busy stop on the city's right rail system and opened fire. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
A UN official says a Saudi-led coalition airstrike struck a funeral hall packed with thousands of mourners in Yemen's capital yesterday, killing over 140 people and wounding more than 500. It's one of the deadliest single attacks of the country's ongoing civil war. Yemeni officials say the dead and wounded include military and security officials from the ranks of the Shiite Houthi rebels. Steven Spielberg's Amblin Partners And Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba Group's media arm announced a partnership today to cooperate to co-produce rather films for global audiences. The deal adds to a multi-billion-dollar string of Chinese ventures with Hollywood studios to capture more of the profits from China's growing media market. Alibaba Pictures will acquire a minority stake in Amblin Partners. Amblin Co., owned by Steven Spielberg, combines DreamWorks Studios, Participant Media, Reliance Entertainment, and Entertainment One. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. In just a few years, a new Statue of Liberty museum will open its doors just a stone's throw from the iconic symbol of hope and freedom in New York Harbor.
The museum will seemingly rise out of the ground, its grass roof blending in with the landscape and affording sweeping views of Lady Liberty and the harbor. The 26,000-square-foot building made of glass, granite, and concrete will sit across the circular plaza from the statue. It will triple the size of the current exhibition space inside the statue's pedestal. A fundraising drive for the $70 million project has so far raised $40 million.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, October the 9th. It's the 283rd day of 2016. There are 83 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1776, a group of Spanish missionaries settled in present-day San Francisco. On this date in 1888, the public was admitted to the Washington Monument. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Your Halloween adventure begins with Wind River Resort and Casino's Under Construction Halloween Bash, featuring the well-known hip-hop duo Ying Yang Twins, performing Salt Shaker, Wait, the Whisper Song, What's Happening, and Bad. Plus, DBJ Chris will be spinning live beats all night long. The Under Construction Adventure kicks off on Saturday, October 29th at 9 o'clock. Drink specials, dancing, cash drawings, costume contest, over $3,000 in cash and prizes. Pre-sale general admission is $20, $25 day of show. VIP booth $250 includes 6 guests, swag, cocktail service, and 2 bottles of champagne. This signature event sells out fast. Get your tickets now, 1-800-280-YOU-WIN, or online at windriver.com. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place to be for your under-construction Halloween adventure. Don't forget to check out our hotel packages. Must be 21 to attend. For details, log on to windriver.com. We offer our guests a free safe ride courtesy shuttle home. Halloween is better at the river.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
For a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours in sight.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Yeah, we got the chat room starting to get a little lively there. You know, all Donald Trump did was talk about what Bill Clinton accomplished. A little tongue-tied this morning.
Having a hard time now?
I guess, yeah. Man. It's true, though. So I want to play this clip of Hillary Clinton from Bill Whittle. I don't know. We got a phone caller coming in. But let's play this clip.
That should be probably our guest. It's probably our guest. Brandy.
So let's get this clip. It's only a couple minutes out of the way, and then we'll get Brandy Hawkins on.
Okay. This is courtesy of Bill Whittle.
Well, I think cybersecurity, cyber warfare, will be one of the biggest challenges facing the next president, because clearly we're facing at this point two different kinds of adversaries. There's no doubt now that Russia has used cyber attacks against all kinds of organizations in our country, and I am deeply concerned about this.
No, I'm sorry, no. No, that, you're just not going to get away with that, Mrs. Clinton. If you're deeply concerned about spying and cyber warfare and information leaks, then you would not have posted secret, top secret, and above top secret information in an unsecure server in your basement where anyone, and I mean anyone and everyone, even individual hackers have come up with some of this information, let alone agents with the resources of China and Russia. They've obtained the most sensitive, detailed information about America's diplomatic stance, about our military assets and their state of readiness, about our global strategic plans, not to mention the names of intelligence assets that would be actual, real people who are going to die now or soon be killed because you wanted a private email server that was not subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. You utterly, criminally disregarded federal law so that you could sell State Department influence to the tune of about $1 billion of criminal activity in the Clinton Foundation and a personal fortune of at least $100 million for a lifetime of public service. If you cared about our nation's security, you would not have misplaced or lost no less than 13 personal devices, personal mobile devices, each one loaded with classified information. You would have just lost them, and you most certainly would not have lied directly to the American people time and time and time and time and time and time again about just how badly you have damaged this nation's security for personal monetary gain. Now, there's a word for people who sell their nation's security for personal monetary gain, and you and I and the American people all know what that word is, don't we? We need your help to keep these messages coming. If you want to help us make a difference, please go to BillWhittle.com and become a member.
Yeah, we all know what that word is, don't we?
And, yeah, we do.
But let's talk about some trash talk, in a locker room 10 years ago instead of that. That makes a lot of sense. Really? I mean, this person... I just don't even believe we're even having the same conversation about this stupid crap, you know. But it shows you how far the media has stooped. And I believe that they're making themselves completely irrelevant. Even idiots can figure out after a while you're being lied to.
Yeah.
So
with that, we have our guest,
Brandy Hawkins.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy, how's it going?
What a way to start the day.
Well, hey, why not?
Well, we got debate number two. It's like Rocky and what's his name? Apollo Creed. Only it's Apollo Greed.
Exactly. I can't believe that they're spending so much time talking about what this man said, as opposed to spending time talking about what actions have or have not been taken by Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely.
And
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's,
yeah.
it's absolutely unfreaking believable that they talk about this guy on this stupid level, and at the same time we're talking about people dying, national security, our secrets given up to the Russians and the Chinese, and completely compromising our national security. But
Let's forget about all that.
But Donald said a bad word on the bus.
Well, everybody has absolutely forgotten to even notice that WikiLeaks finally did their dump on emails from her campaign manager, and have now also pointed out the fact that all of the emails that the State Department turned over to the FBI were not the electronic emails, form emails themselves with the trail of who all they went to. They were printed paper copies that had been altered.
Wow.
What does it matter?
No.
We're not talking about that.
Right. Yeah. And I heard the latest story last night coming out of her camp is that Russia was the one who hacked this, and therefore they had the opportunity to alter them before they were released.
I guess it wasn't her fault that she had a private server in her basement, though.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, let me be very truthful. His attitude, Trump's attitude about women, is not a good one, you know, and it's not, but then I don't look at him for his love life or his ability to romance. I'm looking at him because the man can run a business.
Right.
You know, and you have to look at what's really pertinent. And housewives should get that. Can stretch a dollar more than a housewife can.
Well, you remember Bill Clinton? Remember Bill Clinton? I mean, we weren't supposed to talk about his Oval Office, escapades because that has nothing to do with running the Oval Office. Yes,
exactly.
Or Kennedy.
Opie, the first one to admit that sitting around having a couple with the guys, I have said things that would get me slugged right in the head by my wife.
You know, I'm totally shocked. I am completely shocked at this point.
I've done it.
Yeah,
I've never said anything like that in my life, ever.
Okay. Breaking news.
How did you get from 18 to about 35 then?
I don't remember. It was late 60s, early 70s. It's kind of hard to see when you're in a stupor.
Yeah.
You think, you know, I mean, good grief. You know, yeah. I mean, who hasn't said stupid things about, you know, especially when you're in a private conversation with somebody. Obviously, the guy was bragging.
And that includes women. I have heard some of the conversations.
You keep throwing the women out there.
They're throwing it out there like
Lily White Angels.
Well, not all of them.
Not all of us. They're trying to make this just a very male-centric thing, and it's not. I've heard women have said stuff that have made me blush.
Do you think that Hillary Clinton has ever cussed or said something,
you didn't see that?
I'm sure Hillary Clinton's had numerous conversations.
You didn't see
about
that
vagina.
Information about Hillary and all the F-bombs and stuff she dropped when she wasn't, publicly speaking about
people?
Yeah,
I've heard Bill say that she's a carpet cleaner, you know, I mean.
Well, let's talk about how she treated that 12-year-old that
exactly.
was raped.
Thank right. you.
Let's talk about that. You know, you want to talk about how he's slandering women. The woman laughed while she got this guy off. Knowing he was guilty.
Well,
yeah.
How about her husband?
A 12-year-old.
How about her husband that I never had sex with that woman until the semen was found on her dress, and he was publicly humiliated over that. But
how many women has Hillary Clinton personally gone after, attacked, and destroyed their lives?
Paula Jones, Jennifer Flowers. And it goes.
You've got to add it to the other list of the bodies. You know what I mean?
The guy's a serial rapist.
Well, okay. What incenses me is our establishment Republicans are using this weak BS to abandon Donald Trump 4 weeks before the election. And if 8 years of watching these people kowtow to Barack Obama has not taught you what the Republican Party is, I hope this finally opens people's eyes that it's time to go through the Republican Party with pitchforks and torches.
Sure. So that's a good segue. Can I talk to you about a little meeting I attended a couple weeks ago?
Sure,
absolutely.
Yes.
So there's an organization here in Oregon called the Rural Organizing Project.
Hey, Brandy. Real quick, for those of you that, for people who haven't heard you on our show before, can you tell us who you are and give us a little background real quick?
Yeah, my name is Brandy Hawkins, and I'm a recovering Californian. I moved from California in early 2000s and got very active about 3 years ago in the Patriot movement here in Oregon as a result of just being awakened by a friend. And I have worked with the Heirs of Patrick Henry and also with the Oregon 3% in my tenure with this movement. And I'm currently the public information officer for the Oregon 3%.
Fantastic.
And I do live in Southern Oregon. And I'm active kind of in many different facets of the movement, both legislative and lobbying, as well as speaking or attending meetings. And also we have a State of Jefferson committee here in Josephine County. Here we go.
Yeah, we're happy to hear that and know that that's moving along for you guys, too.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm typing here. You guys go ahead.
Okay. So we went to this meeting that was hosted by the Rural Organizing Project here in Southern Oregon, and one of the things that they were talking about is the insidiousness of the Patriot Movement and how they're getting people elected to office and they're starting to schmooze in on the Republican Party. Now let's talk about how the socialists and communists have gotten a hold of the Democratic Party. Was much the same tactic, much the same technique. And yet, you know, we are doing the same thing and we're insidious and evil. And, you know, there's a difference now between, in Oregon at least, and I'm sure you guys see it down there, you have the whole State of Jefferson movement. So there's a difference between an establishment conservative and a liberty conservative. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is the liberty conservatives are making inroads. We're making inroads in politics. We're making inroads in local politics. So we're getting people on boards, on school boards, on planning commissions, on as county commissioners, all across the board as PCPs. And because we're doing that, we're able to start making change on a very local level, which hopefully will ultimately spread. It's the same tactic that the progressives have been using to get a hold of the Democratic Party.
I know one of the things that you guys are pushing is the 2A referendum in all the counties.
Exactly.
Can you explain that a little bit?
The 2A referendum is to basically get our sheriffs, mostly, and our county commissioners to buy into the fact that, first of all, that the county is sovereign. And that they are the ultimate authority, especially those counties that have what's called a home charter. If they have a home charter, they basically can negate or nullify any law pretty much that comes out of Salem. Now, there's only 7 counties, I believe, that have home charters. However, you can also get a referendum through the county commissions that say that they will not tolerate any law that comes through the Marble Nut House that takes away or infringes on Second Amendment rights. And so that's where we're trying to get to. And we have, I think, 3 counties that have already either adopted it or will adopt it very shortly. So we're very active in all the counties now on a county level. This is different from when the last time we talked. The county levels have really stepped up since the primary election that we had in May.
Yeah, I know that you guys have worked very hard to kind of change your direction and your avenue of approach, and you are finding success with it.
Yeah, and there's a commercial, I believe it's, I can't remember if it's for a car, but the very last words that this guy utters on screen is, we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. And even as you look at Rural Organizing Project and you look at their paradigm, We actually have a lot of common ground. You know, we're against many of the same things. It's just a matter of how it manifests itself. You know, what they don't understand is that their ultimate goal of having, you know, all this human dignity and everybody on a level playing field is just, we're just not that evolved yet. While it's a very noble thought, noble concept, we're not evolved enough. And so there's somebody always going to be at the top, kind of pulling strings. And they feel that everybody will be able to do that equally, and that's just not, well, unfortunately, that's not true. So while we believe in some of the same things, it's hard to get there when they can't dialogue with us.
Well, the biggest problem with that formula is your base set is a variable. At the end of the day, not everybody's equal and never will be.
Right.
There are people that are capable in some areas where other people are incapable. We have different talents. We have different abilities. I agree we all have something to contribute, but, you know, we're not all equal in our capabilities and our abilities to do that. And what America is about is America is not about equality and making everybody equal. It's about equal protection under the law for everyone.
Right.
And they forget that dynamic.
Well, they're single, they have a single focus, you know, and unfortunately that focus doesn't encompass everybody. And it's much like the legislature here in, Oregon, and you've experienced in California. The focus doesn't include everybody. The focus includes the people in the very urban areas, the very populated areas. It doesn't, you know, everybody else gets just disenfranchised. And the percentage of people that that is in Oregon is pretty significant, you know, when you look at the number of counties that are involved. So
absolutely. I mean, yeah. If you take up the communal area that is represented by those people in Oregon that is disenfranchised, it's the exact same model that we're facing in Northern California, is we may have less people, but the resources and the communities that are under our purview are massive compared to the urban areas, and it's completely disregarded.
Right. Yep.
So, and we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on with the Malheur trial and some update on that for people that haven't been staying abreast of it. Charges have been dropped in the Malheur refuge against Pete Santilli. They finally recognized his role solely as a reporter. They had their key witness against Pete Santilli retract his statement and basically testify that he perjured himself in his affidavit and perjured himself before the grand jury. Several people have been released. They've dropped charges against Shauna Cox now. There's quite a bit that's going on with that.
Right, and I think that we're going to see more of that. I believe, it's my belief, that they didn't have a very structured case to begin with. So at this point, they're kind of just rolling the dice and hoping for the best, it sounds like, with me. You know, I think the issue is they're just treating these people so badly while they're waiting. You know, it's just atrocious. And then to find out that charges get dismissed against a couple of them.
Well, that's Pete Santilli is a perfect example. They knew for months that their key witness against him was lying, and they refused to bring that forward and release him
because it doesn't support their narrative. You know, their narrative is that we are evil and anti-government. We're not anti-government; we're anti-bad government. We just want our government to be accountable and be responsible,
and operate under the rules defined by our documents.
Exactly, and it's unfortunate that more and more, and even when we went to this ROP meeting, that was one of the things they stated, more and more of these progressives are taking the line that the Constitution is outdated. Well, you know, the Founding Fathers kind of expected that. And they built in, you know, for the people who are awake and who can see it, they built in that they expected this. So, but their narrative always has to match. And unfortunately, when they have to make the narrative match, they have to change the details. And what's happening now is that they're getting caught in changing some of those details, which, of course, destroys their credibility. So we're just hoping more and more comes out that will show and reflect, even with this judge not accepting, you know, she won't allow mention of the Constitution in her courtroom.
Well,
it's a non-issue.
I know that she received a reprimand. I believe it was from the bar that said that she was risking a mistrial through her actions.
Good.
So,
you know, doesn't she take an oath to the Constitution to sit on the bench?
Yes.
Yeah. So how does that work?
Well, how does it work with every other elected official who takes an oath?
Yeah,
the Constitution.
That's true.
And, you know, what needs to not be lost in all of this is the incident that preceded Malheur, and the Hammonds need to be freed and made whole again.
Yes, absolutely. And that is still a core desire in the Patriot Movement here in Oregon. And even still, letters are being written, you know, talks with legislators are happening. So it's a matter of, you know, just show us the action. You know, quit giving the people lip service and actually do something about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues with just getting lip service. You know, those the Hammond family cannot be forgotten in the shuffle and the horrible incidents that occurred around Malheur, especially with the new forensic report and evidence that has come out that clearly identifies that the FBI team fired on Lavoie Finicum and lied about it and tried to cover up their actions.
Yeah, but none of that is admissible with in the prosecution's case against Ammon Bundy.
Yeah, I know.
And that's another thing she won't allow mentioned in her courtroom.
Yeah, the fact that they lied about the entire incident.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so there's good things happening up there, and there's still a lot to be done. That's for sure.
We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. But
for sure.
That's and getting back to kind of what you were talking about earlier, one of the things that wanted to really discuss, because we're trying to formulate a similar model down here with some of the things that we're doing in Northern California, and the community engagement and the engagement in elections and how to go about really retaking our government from the grassroots. And
right.
It is the smaller things that we need to be aiming at first. Water boards, fire boards, school boards.
Yep.
Things like that. We've got to build the farm team before we start playing Major League Ball.
Also, don't forget about precinct committee people. You know, if you have, and really, truly the only way to do it is through the conservative, the Republican Party, is if you have Liberty conservatives, get them elected as PCPs, as precinct committee people, and what they can do is they can work within the party on controlling who gets nominated, on things such as that on a higher level, on a national level. Because everybody from every precinct or every county, they get to send somebody to the Republican National Convention or the state convention to help with those higher decisions about where the party's going to go. So the more liberty conservatives that we can get who are constitutionally minded without being so enmired in the social issues that divide us, you know, we're not going to agree on the social issues. So, you know, some of those things we have to just put aside, and we have to focus on the things that will unite us. And the Republican Party, the GOP, is really bad about that.
Yeah.
But
horrible.
if we put some of our people in there who can then, you know, logically say, look, we all believe in fiscal responsibility. We all believe in smaller government. We all believe in the Constitution. If we can get back to these principles, then we will gain XYZ, because you can pick up the entire libertarian market as well.
Yeah, and there is a lot of crossover with conservatives and the Libertarian Party, especially mm-hmm. recently.
Yeah.
Now, you guys were actually able to send delegates to the Republican National Convention this year, correct?
Yeah, Josephine County, as a matter of fact, sent several. So, you know, and it's... The Republican Party in Oregon has gone through a lot of upheaval since 2008, you know, with the Tea Party and everything like that. And, you know, with the Tea Party, the concept was great, but again, the focus was on social issues. And it's those social issues that tend to be divisive. And as you guys know, you know, getting a bunch of libertarians together is rather like herding cats. You know,
it's a fact.
It is just, you know, getting them to agree on one or two points is okay, but if you start throwing too much into the mix, and that's what makes us libertarian, is we do believe in the individuality of the person, and so you have to respect that.
Oh, well, you also have the media that just played on that. And then you had the targeting by the IRS, which is still going on, by the way.
It is.
So, I mean, you combine all that. It was a recipe for a disaster in a way, but you know something? I believe a phoenix is rising out of the ashes over that whole thing as well.
Yeah, and that's how it's going to be, is the nation will wake up. And I don't think they're going to wake up at the point of a rifle. You know, I think they're going to wake up because the media just does something so, they just transgress so badly, you know, that nobody can ignore it anymore.
Well, it's going to be economic, in my opinion, as well. I mean, they've already transgressed so badly that anybody with a brain
you know, can see that there's a problem. It's correct. Just that it hasn't affected a lot of people yet, but it's getting to the point where they're not going to stop that from happening.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's starting to hit them at the dinner table.
Yeah. And there are some people who, you know, are just like, rip off the Band-Aid already, you know?
Yeah.
And an economic failure would be the vehicle that could do that.
Well, and I mean, they're trying to keep this thing afloat till after the election so that if Trump gets elected, they can blame it on him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, they can't blame it on Obama. So if Hillary gets elected, we're all screwed anyway, because it doesn't really matter. The whole thing's going to come crashing down because we have no rule of law anymore. And she's going to be, you know, Obama, you know, 2.0.
Right.
And it's just a recipe for disaster. If you look at like this thing we talk about with Trump, it's like it's so utterly ridiculous what the mainstream media is bringing up. I think that you know, their business model is just going to crap because, you know, who can look at that seriously and go, this is a serious, you know, journalistic endeavor.
Right.
Well, that's last night with the RNC deciding to cut off funding to the Trump campaign 4 weeks before the election. Paul Ryan and the rest of the Lemmings just jumped off the cliff.
Right.
And it's going to be our job to make sure they don't get to climb back up the cliff.
Yeah. And yet nobody's offered a solution.
Right. None.
You know? And like I said, they're focusing too much on locker room talk. And I'm not condoning what he said. You know, I'm a female. I resent the heck out of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that doesn't change his ability to manage a business, and that's what America needs right now.
Well, and who else is there standing in line?
Right.
You know, I mean, good grief. I mean, what, you want another Bush in there? Oh,
no.
I bet he's very soft-spoken, and Jeb, you know, he doesn't say anything ever, you know, that's crass or nasty or anything like that. And but you know, the real problem is that, you know, he's kind of a globalist, and he's turning over our sovereignty to the UN and things like that and getting rid of our, you know, gun rights and stuff. So that's, you know, that's not as important as, you know, saying a couple of the bad things in the locker room.
Right.
Stupid.
And again, focusing on what he said as opposed to focusing on what she's done.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, yes.
That's an issue for me.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one.
Well, I think that the American people are going to overwhelmingly vote for Trump, and then it's the Electoral College that's going to be the problem. That's going to be the issue.
Right.
Is you know, can he might win the popular vote by a landslide, but is the Electoral College going to be fixed, and is that going to be skewed towards the Democrats? Maybe.
And that's one of the things that you're talking about when you say, get your precinct captains, get your delegates, get your things in there so you have more of a direct control of that situation.
Correct. And here's my prediction. I told my brother this about, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, because he's a huge Trump supporter. And I told him, I said, brother, you know, you need to know that he can win by 80% of the vote. He could win 80% of the vote,
right,
and he still won't be president.
Right.
I can almost guarantee that. The fix is in. It's kind of like when our governor here got sent away and the backroom deals that were made for Kate Brown to come in and be appointed. You know, the fix was in.
Yeah. What does that even mean, the fix is in? What does that even mean? I mean, you listen to Obama say that, you know, like a week after Debbie Wasserman Schultz got, you know, ousted from the Democratic National Committee for fixing the vote against Bernie Sanders. And it's like,
right,
these guys have absolutely no conscience. They're like sharks. They got dead doll eyes that have no conscience at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, we probably need to go to a break.
All right. And with that, if you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is your life, good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Big Bike Weekend 2016 thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, non-stop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bett on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Redding at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves ships a day, lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, "Brandy, fetch another round." She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, "Brandy, you're a fine girl.
I think Bob likes you, Brandy.
So she's not serving whiskey these days, but a little bit of political rhetoric, definitely.
A little political rhetoric and some whining?
Yeah. So my pat question to everybody is, of course, you guys are going to know this, is who performs that song? It seems everybody knows the song, but nobody
looking,
knows
looking
the artist.
Looking Glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what I do. It's who I am. It's how I roll.
So getting back to what were some of the methods that you guys used?
Yeah,
that's my
question.
How were you able to get in and start getting control of your central committees?
So it takes involvement. You know, I'm going to be real honest with you. It takes people getting up off the couch. It takes people knowing their community. This culture that we have, guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm in a foreign land now, but this culture we have of people not coming off onto their porches after dinner at night to talk with their neighbors, instead isolating and watching football or basketball or baseball or American Idol, has really crippled us as far as knowing the people that we live with and around, knowing what their hearts are, knowing what they're going through, and knowing what they need. And that translates itself all the way up to your city council, your county commissioners, your state government, all the way up into that White House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So what needs to happen is people need to get off their couches, you know, and start getting out in their communities. When I was a kid, I'm really old, when I was a kid, we would get done with dinner, we'd do the dishes, and everybody would get their lawn chairs and go sit out on the front lawn with their iced tea in the summertime. Kids would play, you know, amongst 8 or 10 different yards, and the adults would sit and talk for a couple hours till the sun started to go down. Does that happen in any of your communities?
No.
No, really, no.
I'm actually one of those porch sitters. I like to go outside after dinner, and I'll just kind of sit around out in my driveway and, you know, drink a glass of lemonade or something, have a chew, and just kind of watch the world go by.
Sure.
And I've got one neighbor that actually comes out and does the same thing about the same time of year or same time of evening. He takes a dog out. He smokes a couple cigarettes. Mm-hmm. But that's about it. Everybody else, it's a ghost town.
Right. So getting out in the community, getting to know people, and getting your name out there. You know, oftentimes for PCPs and even county commissioners, sometimes you're running, you know, unopposed. And all it takes is for 10 people to mark that box and you're in. You know, and so ask yourself, if 10 people, and do you know 10 people that are in your precinct that would give you a vote? Then do it. And the, like I said, school board, water board, planning commission, a lot of these are even appointed and not elected. So you can be appointed by your city council.
I think there's a little bit of intimidation going on there out there in the community, because a lot of people have not been involved in politics, so they don't know what the issues are in a lot of cases. That's why they're probably a little bit afraid to run in some instances.
And that's where education comes in. That's where you have town hall meetings, where you have constitutional classes, if you will, you know, and start teaching people where we are and how far we've come from where we should be.
Yeah, education is a huge aspect.
Work, you know, and it happens. We have community events. You know, we do fundraisers. We adopt a highway. We're members of chambers of commerce. Anywhere that you can go where you can influence a person, because you don't have to influence everybody.
Right.
If you influence a person, then they carry the ball. And it starts, it's a ripple effect.
And
you can't help but make a change, make a difference.
Well, that's when I have to admit to myself is a failing on my part, is I went to the Republican Central Committee and sat about 3 meetings and gave up because I couldn't handle the primitives. I couldn't. And, you know, I should have had the fortitude to stick it out and see it through. But some of the thought processes and the ideals are so entrenched and so anathema to what I consider normal Americans now, it's jaw-dropping.
But if any elected position, you look at your sheriff, you look at your mayor, your city council, your county commissioners, if any elected position feels threatened, then they're going to start looking at what's threatening them. And they're going to start, maybe you have a chance of them coming more to the center. Do you know what I mean? If there's enough people who are saying, look, you know, this is what your job's on the line here.
Shrink the box.
And if they have enough voters who say, your job's on the line, and this is what you represent us, and here's what we believe, then they have to listen to that if they want to keep their job. So it's just a matter it's going to be like a snowball that you roll down a hill. You know, it's going to start very, very small, and it's going to have the ability to crush by the time it gets done. And we're about halfway now. What we're seeing is people who are being changed as a result of going to the park and seeing Oregon 3% giving out hamburgers and hot dogs to the general public while they're cleaning up the park and having a conversation. You guys know BJ Soper.
Yes, I do.
He went to one of these meetings. And for the rural organizing project, and had a very productive conversation with somebody who's a higher up in rural organizing project, the organizing project. And as a result, you know, we're finding out that there's common ground there. And if you don't have that dialogue, if you don't start with conversation, you're not going to change it at the tip of a gun.
Well, I think the narrative's changing too from say 10 years ago.
Well, I think a lot of people, because they're not educated, they assume that you are a certain way, whether you are or you're not. And without that dialogue going, there's no way that they're going to be able to know really what you're about or what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
In the community.
The 3% historically has been stereotyped as, you know, Neanderthals with guns.
Right.
Or something to that effect. And the reality is so far different because we offer classes and we educate in how to preserve food. How to do canning, how to do drying of food, how to do gathering and gardening, how to take care of people in your community if there's no one else to.
Well, that's what the Tea Party was doing early on as well, you know, and they were, you know, taking that to the forefront. And I think, mm-hmm. like I say, they were targeted so much that they became ineffectual in some ways. But that seed, like you say, that was planted has grown into a big tree of a lot of other organizations.
Sure. And, you know, that's another thing that Rural Organizing Project picked on was that we have CERT teams. You know, we have teams who are, and this is an Oath Keeper thing, that they have teams in each community who are trained in disaster recovery and how to provide for people's needs during a disaster. And the way that it was painted is that this is an anti-government CERT team. No, it's not. It's a for the people who are waiting on the government CERT team. You saw what happened in Katrina. You know, nobody showed up.
Yeah, I think.
Well, you saw what happened just in Louisiana this last couple of months.
Sure. Yep.
I think we can look to Europe for our future at this point as to the model of what's going to happen here as far as economics. You know, that's really what we're talking about. I'm looking at an article here. German mayor beaten unconscious after announcing plans to accept refugees. In a sleepy little town of Orsendorf with a population of 900, the mayor there was clubbed in the side of the head and fell unconscious after he ignored repeated warnings that included two bomb threats and a letter that read, "Who will not listen will have to feel." And the attack was in response to his advocacy of bringing refugees into town. So when I say that, you know, you're looking at what's happening in Europe and these refugees piling in, and the economics are going in the toilet because of the banking system and the globalists. You know, we just haven't felt it as much yet,
right.
But I think that's what that's the kind of a thing we're going to be looking for.
Well, that's part of the evolution of the Patriot movement, especially what I'm seeing out of Southern Oregon, especially what we're working on setting up here in Northern California, is the evolution of get out of the bug out mindset and into the dig in mindset.
Uh-huh.
Get into your communities. Get them to know you, get them to trust you, get them to understand that you're really there to assist and help and be an integral part of holding the community together.
Yeah, do an outreach to your actual community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a part of that is that we have the, this is a great group. These brothers and sisters that I have in the Patriot Movement in Oregon, they're just amazing people. And they truly are brothers and sisters. And as they are out in the community, and as they are getting to know people, it is an emotional connection. You know, they make an emotional connection with everybody, and it's usually a positive one. So it's important that people know that this is a heart issue for most patriots. It's not a, you know, we can't wait to pull the trigger issue. It's truly a hearts issue for us. We want people to be safe. We want people to have liberty. We want people to be able to pursue happiness.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the changing dynamic of that, and you know, the evolution of the Patriot Movement I see as a very positive thing. I think it's moving in an extremely positive direction, and that's come at the cost of some pretty hard lessons.
It has, definitely.
Well, I'm just looking at a opinion piece here from the Washington Times. Beating Trump deadline, EU approves the Paris climate deal. And so they're trying to get this whole thing put into place with the carbon credits and everything else for Europe. And the same guys that are signing these treaties are the same guys that have been letting all of these refugees in, has been, you know, collapsing the country, handing over everything to the banking establishments.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see anything different going on here. You know, and I look at this leak from the Guccifer 2.0 on the Clinton docs. You know, when you look at what happened, and you go down through the leaks here, Barney Frank, you know, received money from Bank America, New York Mellon, Capital One, Citigroup, Fifth Third, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Key Group, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo. And then you just go right down the list, every one of them that received it, and the Democrats here, you know, Carol Mahoney. It goes all the way down to Nancy Pelosi. But it's the same players that are bribing everybody. Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, Bank America. And it's the same thing that's happening in Europe. So this goes all the way back into the banking system, and that's what has to be dealt with sooner or later. But you're right, we can't even get control of the local level, and in order to do, you know, get control of the national level, you know, you got to get control of the local level. But at the same time, we're going to see a crash here of epic proportions, like what Trump said. And so I you know, it's just crazy, and you get nothing from the media,
right?
And that, I was saying, and that's why we're looking and working on designing a multi-avenue approach with the Patriot Movement that we're trying to bring to Northern California. We've broken it actually into three aspects of what we're calling the Prepared Patriot Pioneers. And the prepared aspect is we want people in our community to be able to be prepared, be able to create a fire, be able to store food, be able to, you know, survive the initial impact of, you know, a wildfire, of flooding, of civil unrest, whatever it may be. And then the Patriot aspect we look at as the education, teaching those Constitution classes, getting people to truly understand the Bill of Rights, getting to know that your civil ability, your ways that, how do we engage our government, how do we get involved?
And involving the whole family. And not just, you know, the whole unit.
Yeah, because we can't look to our politicians. And when I read off that list, I was talking about the TARP funds that went back into the super PACs for these candidates.
Right.
And so we can't get those guys out of there if they're getting that kind of money, you know, from the banking industry. So you can't look to them. We got to look to ourselves.
Yeah, because if we rely on one another, we are a very powerful group of people.
Yes, we are. We are we the people.
We are.
And that's it. It's time to unify the tribes.
And if people can start seeing that, you know, just a small group here, like you say, Brandy, and you start growing and you start pushing here and pushing that, you can move a lot of different things and accomplish a lot of different things with just a few.
Well, and we're going to have to end up throwing off a lot of the old myths like, oh, gee, you need to keep paying your taxes. And, oh, gee, you know, you got to keep submitting to this vast debtor's prison that we've created in America, which, you know, and that's really what we're talking about.
We were talking about on Jefferson. Give me a valid reason that we need a license plate on our vehicles that is not a surrendering of liberty in the name of security.
Yeah. It goes back to taxation being theft.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And you know, what they're doing is, I mean, we've had $9 trillion of debt created under just Obama, and that's just the national debt. The treasury bonds have been sold, and then you get all the way up to the higher. What they've done is that they're trying to enslave us through this debt, you know, and oppress us through this, so that we just walk around on the street, you know, getting paid small amounts of money, and most of it goes to the government in some form of tax or fee or DMV or, you know, whatever it is. I'm sorry.
We got dual coughing going on here. Right. Sorry about that.
So we have to throw those things off, just like the founding fathers had to throw off the tea tax and the stamp tax and you know, all these things that oppress everybody and keep us under the thumb of the politicians.
If we get people in there, the right people in there, and they're working towards what we need to be, then a lot of that's going to go by the wayside. I believe it's going to go away because they'll have the power in there.
An amazing tool set that was left to us by our founding fathers.
Yeah.
And we have to get those old tools out and get the rust off and start using them. They gave us so many tools and protections.
Yeah. I think also what's important to know and remember is that history has been somewhat sanitized. And the founding fathers didn't just, you know, go and meet for dinner every night. This was a hard-fought battle for them. And it's going to be a hard-fought battle for us. But we have got to get out of our complacent place and do some movement.
I agree with that,
yeah.
It's not going to be easy.
It's not.
And it has been. I think we're definitely seeing forward progress of the football.
I agree.
And it's satisfying. It's rewarding after watching just so much of the wheels spinning to see it finally grab traction and start to move in the direction it is. I think it's going to be extremely powerful. It's extremely encouraging.
Well, we're almost to the top of the hour now. We got a few minutes left.
Is there anything else you want to get out there, Brandy?
Just education, education, education. To anybody who's listening, use that minute you're standing in line at the grocery store, to make a connection. Be in relationship with as many people in your community as you can. It could be the ladies that check you out at the grocery store. It could be your banker. It could be anybody. Use every second that you have in public to educate and relate, and that's what it's going to take. That's the beginning.
Well, one of the things that we're trying to impart in a manner of speaking is it really is kind of time to become your brother's keeper.
It is, definitely.
Yeah, we all need to be in this together and watching out for each other. You know, who are the older people in your immediate neighborhood that if there's a problem are going to need medications or going to need help? You know, who are the people that can help out? Who are the people that, you know, need things, you know, and just
don't forget about the younger group, the kids who are in college. You know, I went to a rally a couple weeks ago, and there were a lot of younger college-age kids, and I had the opportunity to talk with some of them. And you know what? They get ostracized a little bit at school, but it doesn't stop them. Yeah. And these are the kids who are hearing the other side loud and clear. So, you know, we also have to reach out to them as well.
That's a good point, because we forget about them sometimes, and they need our help.
Yep.
They will be the ones in charge here shortly.
Yeah, we have to be intentional.
Yes.
With our teaching, definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're down to our last 30 seconds, and we just want to thank you for coming on, Brandy, and I'm sure we'll have you on again, and glad to hear all the positive things that are going on up there.
Well, on behalf of the Oregon 3%, freedom on, brothers and sisters. Let us know how it's going there in the state of Jefferson as well.
All right. Well, thanks again, and have a great day. We appreciate it.
You too. Thank you, guys.
All right. And this has been Sovereign Minds, and stay tuned for the third hour. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR Shasta Redding, the news is service of Wind River Resort and Casino.
Donald Trump's latest crisis is putting evangelical leaders in a tough spot. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
Ahead of tonight's debate here in St. Louis, evangelical leaders have weighed in on Trump's sexually demeaning comments about women. Many conservative Christians are standing by the GOP nominee, including Ralph Reed of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, and Gary Bauer of the Campaign for Working Families. However, Russell Moore with the Southern Baptist Convention calls the response from evangelicals a disgrace and a scandal. Greg Clugston, St. Louis.
The debate gets started at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The remnants of Hurricane Matthew heading out to sea now, but taking their time doing so, North Carolina is inundated.
As a result of the heavy rains, there's a lot of flooding occurring, and some of the flooding is rivaling the flooding that we saw during Hurricane Floyd in 1999. So the total amount in some areas could be as high as 20 inches.
Todd Kimberlane of the National Hurricane Center, he says Matthew is now a post-tropical cyclone and will head out into the Atlantic today and eventually break up. At least 15 Americans have been killed by the storm, hundreds in the Caribbean. The United Nations says that a Saudi-led coalition airstrike hit a funeral hall packed with thousands of mourners in Yemen's capital yesterday. More than 140 people killed, more than 500 hurt. It's one of the deadliest single attacks of the country's ongoing civil war. The Riverside County, California Sheriff's Department says a suspect in a police shooting incident is in custody. Two officers trying to resolve a domestic dispute were killed yesterday when a man they'd been speaking to suddenly pulled a gun and opened fire. Rival resolutions on Syria backed by the West and Russia have been defeated in the UN Security Council. That means no humanitarian relief for the besieged city of Aleppo. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated fountain of youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free sample packs specifically for our conservative friends. But you must act fast. Due to the high demand from members of the Coast Guard, our supply is extremely limited right now. To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens99.com. Greens99.com. Greens99.com.
Cleaning up after a commuter train derailed east of New York City yesterday, striking a work train on the tracks. A spokesman for the Long Island Railroad says the eastbound train derailed east of New Hyde Park last night. 11 people were taken to hospitals. None of the injuries, though, were life-threatening. About 600 people were on the train when the mishap occurred. The first three cars of the 12-car train derailed, and the work train caught fire. A new privacy proposal unveiled by the Federal Communications Commission will require broadband providers like Verizon and Comcast to get your permission before sharing with advertisers what you've been doing on your phone or computer. The FCC has changed its broadband privacy plans as it was initially proposed in March. The wireless and cable industries had complained that under the initial plan, they would have been more heavily regulated than digital ad behemoths like Google and Facebook, which are monitored by the Federal Trade Commission. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Target is thinking small to win over shoppers.
The discounter opened a store in downtown Manhattan last week, which is a third the size of its regular stores. It's part of a strategy to open dozens of small stores in the U.S. that are customized to college towns and dense urban markets. Expanding into smaller stores can be risky. Early this year, Walmart closed all 102 Walmart Express stores, its smallest format that aimed to be a convenient option for people in rural and urban areas.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, October the 9th, and a birthday for some notable people, including former Senator Trent Lott, the Republican from Mississippi, 75 years old today, as is C-SPAN founder Brian Lamb. Actor Tony Shalhoub turned 63 today. Actor Scott Bakula is 62. Country singer Scott McCreery of American Idol fame is 23 years old, and movie director Guillermo del Toro is 52. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Start your week out right with some football tailgate fun at Wind River Resort and Casino Inside Elements. Every Monday, come on down for some action-packed football and catch your favorite team on any of our 18 screens. Win a pair of Raiders tickets, prizes, a spin for $100 or nothing, or $599 kickoff for cash. Nowhere else in town offers this. More games, more ways to win, more prizes, more football fun. Grub on our stadium snack menu, half off until end of halftime. For details, log on to windriver.com. Football is better at the river. Play our $100,000 pro football promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. It's a fun, easy, and fully automated pick'em style football promotion. Simply swipe your River Club card, make your picks, and collect a receipt with your own weekly picks, prior week's results, and year-to-date standings. Top weekly picks win a share of $500.
Plus weekly drawings.
Top season final winners win a share of $5,000. Earn bonus plays every day.
$100,000.
For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Football is better at the river.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We are back, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. If you'd like to call in, you can dial the number at 530-605-4567 or go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. And I believe we've got Terry on the line. Are you there, Terry?
I am. How y'all doing?
Oh, yeah, the fun never stops. How about you? Yeah, it's like the revolving door. You're not sure which you're going in or you're going out.
Well, I have to tell you that it's a big honor to talk to you because you're the big cheese.
The big cheese. Yeah, that's going to be a new title. I'm going to start
new title, my friend.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to start a corporation, a new corporation. Velveeta Inc. or something like that. And we'll have the big cheese, you know, the Swiss cheese. I don't know. Anyway,
those will be the stringy cheese. We can have
string cheese.
Little Gouda.
Yeah.
You know, I heard that Bill Clinton was pretty excited about Donald Trump's remarks, and he sent him a box of cigars.
It just doesn't stop.
Anyway, I wanted to bring up a couple of things about your last guest, who's amazing. Brandy's always amazing. But, you know, there is a different mindset when you start talking about elected officials and public officials in the state of California as opposed to Oregon. And I know this because of not only dealing with three counties at this point as sort of a brother, so to speak, in helping them with their movement toward liberty. But I know that in Josephine County that one of my customers up there just got 120 small flags to take to decorate a state senator's fundraiser because he's for the state of Jefferson. They actually have some people that are elected officials that are actually for this. Where in California, we don't really have that.
Well, the thing is, Terry, that they would be for whatever we told them to be for if you slip them, a couple of $1 million or $500,000 into their pack.
Or we were a legitimate threat to remove them from power.
Right.
Well, here's the thing, too, that I'm going to give you another good example of that, and I'll do this very quickly because I talked about it earlier, but Brett Smith asked a great question of Doug LaMalfa when Trish was interviewing him on Free Fire Radio. And that question was, can you name three things that you've accomplished for the North State since you've been in office? And he never went to that issue. He only went to three things that he is attempting to accomplish, or three bills that he had sponsored or co-sponsored.
So did he even come up with one?
No, he came up with nothing. He was avoiding the question. But here's the kicker. I called in and talked to the young producer. Bob probably knows who he is. I don't remember his name. But talked to the young producer, and I said, you know, the question really is what is it that the congressman has accomplished in the three in his terms of Congress? What has he accomplished? Not what he's proposing or what he's thinking about doing or what he's for. Could she ask him that? And he said, well, obviously, this was his quote, not mine, the congressman isn't going to answer the question. And I said, well, it could be framed in a way that's polite, such as, with all due respect, Congressman, maybe I wasn't clear, I may have miscommunicated the questions, but this is about accomplishments, not about attempts or things that you believe in. Can you answer that part of the question? Now, that's respectful. The problem we have with the press, and this isn't really Trish Clark's fault. I mean, she's not a professional at this, number one. And number two, it's not her radio program, so I'm sure that she doesn't want to offend anybody so that Carl has a problem getting guests on. But
that's really the issue, is that everybody's afraid that if they piss the guy off, basically, that he's going to, you know, ostracize them from, you know, and that's the way they do it. You know, they won't do interviews and they won't come and see you. They won't get on your radio program, and that's their way of getting back, and they're afraid that that's going to happen instead of holding their feet to fire in the first place, you know, because in the long term, that's going to kill them anyway, because you got a guy who doesn't give a crap what you think.
If they're going to be that way, you're not going to want them later on anyway. But
Terry, we need to get to the measures, because we do have a guest in the studio here.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but that's Terry. Okay. But
it's okay. I just wanted to make sure that we were moving.
And it has to
here.
Do with the measures anyway.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Good, because Brent Weaver had written an article in the paper today. Who is your guest?
He can write. hey Terry,
we have Vent Stevenson in though.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Vent. Okay. Anyway, the measure was. This was in the paper today, and Brent was saying how, you know, we should vote for it and all that good stuff. But there's three quick things that we need to know about the measure. Number one, out of Chief Paletti's own mouth, and I'm sure Vento, it was in the paper even, it would take 12 but probably 18 months to hire somebody. I talked to Julie Winters the other day. We had a good conversation. I had asked her why she's for this measure. I mean, we have got the fifth highest paid police department in the United States. We have got a new police station, new police cars, new computer equipment. And I said, and they really wanted CSOs. Well, she told me, well, CSOs aren't a problem to hire. We can get them right away. And I said, well, wouldn't it be a good idea for the city council, maybe in a gesture of good faith to their constituents, by saying, okay, we'll take $400,000 out of the rainy day fund, and we'll hire those five community officers that apparently Chief Paletti's been begging for. We'll hire those five, and then we'll put this thing on the ballot. But we'll, in good faith, we'll take some of that money out, and we'll take that $400,000 out. However, that $400,000 could be, which was on their agenda, spent on some property that they're looking at. They have money to buy property, but they have no money for CSOs. And by the way, we don't have to wait for CSOs. According to Julie, and she was told this by Brent Weaver.
What's a CSO, Terry?
We can get them
community service officer.
Okay,
right?
Some people don't know what that is. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, community service officers.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's the crazy thing about this. If you can get your community service officers to free up your police, then why aren't you doing it? Why didn't you do it the first year,
question.
Brent, or the second year, Brent? And it's $400,000, but you're going to look at buying property instead?
Well, that's my question to Brent Weaver would be, what happened to your blueprint that you claimed to have when you were running for office in the first place?
No, that was a campaign promise, remember.
Or was that one of those shallow, silly campaign
promises?
Yeah.
There
you go.
Yeah. I mean,
sorry to take up your time, Ben. Didn't know you were in there, buddy.
Hey,
that's all right. Thanks for calling in, Terry.
Sure, no problem.
All right.
So with that, do we have any more shallow campaign issues that we can talk about?
Lots.
we need a lot more time on that
or
one.
Or should we just talk about shallow personalities that make promises that they're, they can't keep? Write checks that are out of their mouth that their credit, their checkbook can't cash. But what?
Or don't answer the questions that are asked of them.
Mm. And I do want to say, guys, and I apologize, because I am the one who induced that whole statement. It was our pressing charges against the city council that actually brought out that how can you hold us to those silly shows?
Oh, really?
Campaign promises.
You're the guy. So you're the guy.
It was my fault.
We have someone
sorry.
To blame. This is great stuff.
Accountability.
I'll
take it.
I like that. So it wasn't really Brett Weaver's fault for making the shallow promises.
No, it was your fault.
It was your fault for making him.
I did it. I'm sorry.
Actually admit that he made those shallow
I'm sorry. Those damn words again.
Yeah, those words, you know. Yeah.
Holding them accountable.
So what do you think about Brent Weaver's, time in office so far?
What has he
accomplished?
we had a lot going on. There was a lot of things happening at the time, and there was a lot of promises made. And unfortunately, we had what we thought was a plan that we voted on that he actually had that was 10, 11 steps. And then we had a great group come out, and they did their own focus on it and their own research, and they came out with solutions. And then none of those, for some reason, were, basically pushed forward. And so we paid $150,000 for another report, which took months to do, and they came out with an objective, here's our perspective. And that, too, did not fit their agenda to get this tax measure through, and so they discarded that as well. So I think, based on my statement, I think you know exactly what I think of where they stand.
So what do you think their agenda is?
I think their agenda is pretty simple. They've created a beast. And if you look out on social media, the paper, I've been plugging this point. They've created a beast that just needs to be fed more and more and more. And this is an unsustainable mentality. It's something that we, the taxpayers, cannot afford. And quite frankly, we have a lot of things that are going on that they are ignoring at this point. Yeah. Unfunded pensions as a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, it's one of those things where we have to stop it. And this is as good a time as any to help people recognize it's done.
Well, and I think that the people that are receiving the pensions and are in line to get the unfunded liabilities had better realize and wake up to the fact that they're going to be the first ones to suffer the problem if they let this thing continue, because the unsustainability of it, you're going to end up with something like you've got in Europe already happening. I got a story here in Greece where, they're having the same problem and they're rioting because they can't get their pensions.
Well, and their pension issue created such a significant problem for the country that their debt was turned into junk. And being a bond trader and a financial planner myself, I'm into the numbers. And, it could easily happen to California. It came very close to happening just a couple years ago. So, we're in a situation where I don't think people realize this house of cards is basically taking on some heavy wind right now, more than what the East Coast has even taken.
Well, that's one of the things is CalPERS actually made an announcement to several smaller cities that in the coming months they're probably going to have to shortchange some of the pension checks, and that those municipalities are on the hook to make up the difference.
Absolutely. This is coming out on a daily basis. I, like a lot of you, I get those feeds that are constantly talking about pension. The Downtown Reading Business Association, which obviously is debunked for a particular reason, is still out there, still throwing stuff out for people to educate themselves on. So if you're looking for additional information, I put it out there daily. And it's unfunded pension stuff, and it's stuff the third largest union in the nation, the Teamsters, actually asked the Treasury Department to start cutting their pensions because that obligation is not something fulfilled.
So I got an idea. Yeah. Let's pass a couple of measures that will raise taxes to help, alleviate this problem. Isn't the – what is it? D and H? D and E?
D
and E. It's like the DE deal.
Yeah.
And so those are really going to solve the problem, aren't they?
Well, the problem with this whole thing is even if you give them the D and they hire, 18 new officers or whatever the number is, what's that going to do to the unfunded pension portion? It's going to make it even more unsustainable. And then the simple fact is, if they hire any of those officers from people who are organizations or municipalities that are already within the CalPERS program, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know, we're going to assume their unfunded pension debt. Yep. So it's going to exacerbate our problem even further. And then those CSOs, remember, those CSOs, for a lot of us, think that's a bigger part of the solution than even more officers because of our jail situation and so on. Those CSOs are part of the POA program as well, and they're going to have pension issues, and that's going to be additional debt as well. Until they actually look at this in a general format and realize that, you know what, well, number one, we cannot exacerbate our unfunded pension portion any larger. It just the way it is right now, we've got to protect that first. Then secondly, look at some of the things that maybe the original blueprint that we paid for, maybe that's where we should be looking.
Well, we got to go back to the defined contribution program is the what we got to do. But I think buying a golf course is the answer to all of this.
Well,
right?
But be careful because we have to maintain that surplus except for the earmarked surplus that's going to be spent each year, additional $1.4 million to make up for those unfunded pensions.
But I like golf.
But it's so much worse than that. Than what they think is coming on the unfunded pensions.
Yeah.
I mean, CalPERS has lied about their actuaries. They've lied. They've pushed the interest rate off on what they've had to meet for their targets. I mean, CalPERS is done.
Well, they're still looking at, and this is coming from an investment perspective, they're still looking at an investment philosophy that is outdated. Because the days that they constructed the 7.5% projection as far as their overall safe free model,
exactly, yeah.
That's gone. Because back then, you could get a 30-year treasury that was getting you 6.2%, and then you could make up that additional 1.3% in other investments.
Yeah, what's our 30-year treasury?
30
thing?
Years at about 2.3 right now. So,
it's going to be negative interest here soon.
Yeah, so you look at their projections of 7.5 every year, and this last year they got 0.6. I mean,
if you actually look at the numbers that they pushed off, they actually contracted. They actually lost like 1.27%.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like compound interest, the seventh wonder of the world or the eighth wonder of the world. Yeah. Only this is like compound interest in reverse.
I guess this is a reverse mortgage.
Right.
Reverse mortgage. Yeah. You remember how that turned out for us.
And still turning out with that.
But you know what? Those same people, that ran to Bill Clinton when he came here, are the same people that are pushing this. Well, if you remember, Glass-Steagall, that was the bill that protected us. And who got rid of that one? Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. And those people flocked out there to take selfies with him and smile and get
credit. Well, and it changed the banking dynamics so that you couldn't have the bankers become investment bankers.
Yeah.
It kept them separate. And that's part of the problem as well. And now we've got Dodd-Frank's really good. Basically, in the Dodd-Frank language, now if this thing goes south, they have a bail-in where they just confiscate everybody's money inside the bank accounts, and it's totally legal, and, you know, it doesn't matter if you worked your whole life for that because, you know, you're just one of the unwashed masses, and, you know,
you're an unsecured creditor.
Well, and you know, those pesky campaign promises, you know how they are.
Well, my question is at this stage of the game, it's not like the city council hasn't been uninformed of the elephant in the room.
Exactly.
And they continue to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're on Easy Street. They're going to buy a golf course. They'll be out in a couple years when the whole thing folds up.
Why would any of us expect any different? Because quite frankly, you've got the people guarding the gate that are actually have the most vested interest in it. Mm-hmm. So why would you? It's like CalPERS. I mean, they actually took an oversight committee and who were completely outside of CalPERS that was, you know, trying to regulate them and gave them access to CalPERS themselves. So now, I mean, obviously they're not going to make decisions that are not in their best interest.
Well, it's like the Reason guys, the first meeting over there at the Veterans Hall, you know, they said, oh, we've got to save it and, you know, we're going to pay, you know, and then the next time they came back, they said, well, you know, their tune had changed because I think they did a little more homework. This thing is not savable, in my opinion. It's going to crash and burn regardless at this point. It's too late to save it. And why do you want to save it if you're the city? Because the real deal is, you know, we'll have the two-tier class of citizen. It'll be like India. You got the real rich and you got the real poor. You know, it'll be a slumdog millionaire.
And you know what the fascinating thing to me, at least so far, has been? I've talked to a lot of different groups, from Rotaries to all veterans groups and so on. And a lot of the people who are actually in it, who are going to be most impacted from it, so that's city employees, RPD, you know, so on, these are the people so far that have been pushing back the biggest headwinds. And it's like, guys, don't you realize you guys need to demand that the city gets in front of this problem because, quite frankly, you're the one that's going to pay the biggest price.
Well, they're killing the goose that laid the golden egg, and they don't get it.
Yeah, there's some hard decisions that need to be made.
Because any impacts that we make now, any changes that we make now, are going to be for the people who come after them.
Right. Right.
And quite frankly, we have a contract to take care of them somehow, and we're going to have to figure out how that works.
Well, and the politicians think we'll just keep raising taxes to offset it, because the real deal is they can't stop us anyway. Look what we've done already. They can't stop us from raising taxes, but the problem is that pretty soon there won't be anybody there to raise the taxes on, and there won't be any money there to fund this, because you got businesses leaving California, the economy's going, you know, and anybody who believes we're in recovery is an absolute moron, you know, so you've got all of this stuff happening at the same time in the dynamics of a complete economic crash, and they just don't get it, because historically they have been able to just keep kicking the can down the...
Buy their way out of it.
Yeah, buy their way out of it.
Yeah, but they got to see that the money's not there to sustain it. Well, down the road. I mean, you know, there is no money. What are they, you know?
That's the point that I was getting to, is at this point they have to be aware of what's going on. What is their motive in ignoring it?
Well, to me, this whole scenario breaks down to the fact that some of them don't want to embrace the big picture. They're in total denial. $238 billion on the state side, $6 trillion nationally. It's not like the federal government's just going to step in and go, oh, we're going to save poor little Reading.
Right.
It's not going to happen, because they got a lot of poor municipalities that are going to
need
saving.
Well, it's a worldwide problem, because they all adopted the model in most of the states and governments in the world of this defined benefits program. And, I had guys that I talked to that were, you know, brilliant economists, even, you know, 2007 and earlier, that said as soon as they adopted this model, they predicted the whole thing would go to, south in 2010, because anybody who understands trends and sustainability understands the thing doesn't work.
It should have gone south. They cooked the books.
Yeah.
They're still cooking
it. It actually did go south. They just gave us a different appearance on the outside. Yeah.
Because we've ran the actual numbers, and just for the state, it's closer to $1.4 trillion in unfunded liability. Looking at the real numbers for the city of Reading, in a few short years, the shortfall for people that are already retired or retiring within the next 3 years is going to amount to 386% of current payroll.
So when I talk... See,
that's mind-boggling.
And people don't understand that we can't just buy our way out of this thing. I mean, CalPERS has got us locked in.
See, the federal government's counting on, well, sure we can. We'll just put on our green eye shade and go down to the basement and print up a couple trillion more dollars.
Yeah.
And we'll buy our way out of it. Only, you know, that's why I keep talking about hyperinflation. Because the end of that is that it devalues the dollar so exponentially at some point that it doesn't buy anything, and now you've got a bigger problem than if you had faced the real problem in the first place.
And if you mix that with wage stagnation,
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hyperinflation and wage stagnation. That looks pretty ugly, guys.
And with that, we do have Billy Bob on the phone.
Just real quickly, too, is...
Hold on, Billy Bob. Red's got a comment.
Well, that's looking at the actuary numbers and things like that. And where we're going with that is the Stockton decision did give municipalities a way out, and that's bankruptcy, and that's the people on the pensions becoming unsecured creditors, and at best bet receiving 2 to 3 cents on the dollar on their pension.
And Fairfield and Santa Rosa are adding to that as well. They're building new perspectives, precedents, legally, that are now being challenged by CalPERS, and that will actually allow us to adjust and not have to make it apple for apple. We can actually adjust lower with our negotiation.
And the other city creditors get paid first.
Yep.
And they can use the pension funds to pay that debt.
Well, and see, what you'll end up with here is Detroit. That's what you're going to end up with if you don't bankrupt them, if you don't negotiate, if you don't redefine the program and the policies, then you're going to end up like in Detroit, where you have no city services, you have no police and fire, they don't give a crap. You know, you have a water treatment plant that is killing everybody in Flint, Michigan. You know, I mean, so that's what you end up with. There's no city services, and just like in Greece, 100% of the money that comes in goes out to pay the interest to the guys who have lent the money.
But that's what happens when you wait for the government to solve your problems.
Right.
Exactly.
Good morning, Billy Bob. Sorry about that. You got a question or comment for us this morning?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Great show as usual, and I want to compliment Vint on his articulate and very, very significant points he's made. But again, with all this trouble, my point is simply there is no way other than build our way out of this problem. The city of Reading has, for a 1,000-square-foot home, their impact fees are 35, and permit fees, I guess, are $35,000. And there is no carpenters. Our whole construction industry is sitting on their hands, sitting on their tool belts, because the city of Reading, as broken, as enabled as they are, they can't see that if we get our construction business back and start moving and build our way out of that, and that's why we got to elect Donald Trump, because he's a builder, and we will build our way out of this chaos and defunct bureaucracy.
Well, see,
so
that, what you've got to let the, happen here, too, Billy Bob, is the let the free market work. In the free market, did we lose him?
Oh. I think we might have.
Sorry. I didn't mean step over him.
I think he was done.
Oh, okay.
In the free market, that's why you have bankruptcy. I mean, you had the debaters talking about, oh, he filed bankruptcy. How smart can he be? He filed bankruptcy. Well, they say he's a genius now. Well, do you remember a little thing called Walt Disney and Disneyland? Walt Disney filed bankruptcy 7 or 8 times because he was a genius, and look what he ended up with, because he let the free market purge the debts that were outstanding so that you could get back to an economic reality at some point. That's what needs to happen. Then you can build your way out of it. You can't build your way out of a massive debt that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And until the free market purges and cleanses this crap out of the system, you are continually going down this road forever until the whole thing collapses and you end up in Haiti if you're not careful. And that's where we're headed. And that's why we've got to get back to free market principles so that we can build our way out of it.
And Billy Bob, my thought is your point is spot on, but it's part of the solution.
Right.
This is not going to be a golden bullet of any type. This is no panacea for this. It's going to take an overall 20,000-foot view plan, and that's something that we haven't heard from the city in a long time.
I don't think they even want to introduce that idea, do they?
No. They want to maintain control because they want to continue to feed the beast. And they want us to think that the only solution is a tax that's going to take more out of your pie to feed theirs. And that's just the way it
works. How much do you think that private interests in the city are driving that thought process and those actions?
You know, you got to believe a significant amount, and probably becoming more significant. The great thing that I see overall, Red, is I see a greater awareness that's growing. I see people being engaged, listening to shows like this and reading the things that are out there. I see them actually partaking because they realize now that government's not going to solve their issues for them. They're going to have to take a point, and that's basically what Wednesday night is about. There's another, if you look on the schedule, there's another event that same night. It's Measure D&E at the Red Lion, put on by the Yes on D group. So if you want to go there and attempt to be sold, or at least reinforce the fact that you're already going to vote for them, then you know what? You already know where to go. Now, on the other hand, if you want to come to the Veterans Hall and talk about things that are, you know, objective and get your point across, or maybe even throw your ideas out and see if people can poke holes in them and look for real solutions, then you know what? You have an avenue for that as well. I think what we need to do as a group, and it'd be great for a group like this to take a lead on that, would be to put a group together, Billy Bob's, all these types of people that have ideas. And you know what? Let's come up with some real solutions. That's one of the things we are going to introduce on Wednesday, is a possible alternative. Because I'd like to see 0.25% on the county side that's a specific tax to jails. I'd like to see 0.25% on the city side that is very specific. But you know what? That verbiage, to me, needs to come from us. It needs to be stuff that we actually want, and then we introduce it to the city council. They pass it through what they need to, and we move on. Because, quite frankly, we are going to need some things solved. But you know what? This unfunded pension thing is not going away, and we need to figure out how to deal with it.
And do we need to reduce services?
Yeah, I personally think if you've got that overlying address that says, I am not going to take any action that's going to exacerbate our unfunded pension portion at all, you have to look at that CSO thing and you have to say, do we outsource that? Do we come up with ways where we can actually get the services that we need to support the officers we already have in place? And do we do it in such a way that's not going to require us to pay those pensions? Mm-hmm. There's some creative things out there. When Leonard Modi and the group actually shot down the idea of the 128 beds versus 64, myself and some other financial advisors got together and we came up with a plan. It was a very easy, simple plan in generalities that basically said, rather than rent, and which means passing on prisoners to other counties, let's build the 128. Here's how we'll pay for it. Here's how we'll pay for the maintenance and the people that we'll need to support it. And here's how it's going to look 3 and 5 years out. I went to the crime meeting, gave the idea. Leonard was there, and he said, you know what, that's just way too simple. You obviously don't understand the issue. And I was like, obviously, because you know what? Quite frankly, here's a scenario where we could have, over about a three-year period, we would have had the whole 128 beds to ourselves. We were actually going to become a renter to other counties.
But no, nobody's palms getting greased.
Yeah. And then the other part was all these areas that we have are along the river and so on that basically say that, you know what, if you find somebody trespassing on city properties, we have to post it and give them 7 days, and then we have to store their goods. Basically, what we came up with was, you know what, lease it to me. Lease it to CVAC. Lease it to VFW. Lease it to your group. Lease it to anybody for $1 a year. We don't have any rights to develop it, nothing, no say on it. They can cancel the contract at any time, mm-hmm. but now it becomes private property. So then if I call up, and the chief was right there, I called up, and I said, Rob, if I call you and say, I've got somebody sitting on my private property, will you remove them? He said, yes, I can do it immediately. Do you have to store the goods? No, I don't. You can get them off of there. I said, problem solved.
Something similar to like an Adopt a Highway program.
Exactly.
Adopt a
Riverfront. That came out, the Adopt a Neighborhood, Brent came out with that like 2 days after that. And he was like, hey, will you support this? And I was like, no, what? There's no teeth in it. We adopt a neighborhood like this, and then we clean it up, and then 3 days later, it's right back to where it was. Why would we do that?
It's all about feelings.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about.
Make yourself feel good.
Just make it feel good. We should go to a break.
I was just thinking we probably should go to a break. If you want to call in, have a question or comment for our guest, number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
My love, and I took it down. Climbed a mountain, and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills, till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is and the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life? I don't know.
Been so contentious, there is one issue on the November ballot, Proposition 52, that's achieved consensus. Here's why. Since 2009, California hospitals willingly pay a Medi-Cal hospital fee to continue receiving federal matching funds for Medi-Cal. This generates over $3 billion a year from Washington and helps pay for health care for children, seniors, and low-income families. Prop 52 means zero consumer cost, no new taxes, and strictly prohibits the legislature from diverting this money. Prop 52 continues this current program. It's endorsed by doctors and nurses, business and labor, and both political parties. And newspapers agree. 52 is endorsed by the LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle, and the Sacramento and Fresno Bee. Tested, tried, and true. Vote yes on 52. Paid for by Yes on Proposition 52, a coalition of California Association of Hospitals and Health Systems and nonprofit healthcare organizations with major funding by California Health Foundation and Trust and Dignity Health.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale prices have been extended. If you missed out on the sale, don't worry. You can still get a discount on the many drought-tolerant and riparian perennial plants that have been grown on-site at the Turtle Bay Nursery. Turtle Bay members get 30% off and non-members get 20% off through the month of October. The nursery is open every Friday and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Visit turtlebay.org for a full inventory list and more details. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Big Bike Weekend 2016 thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, nonstop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bett on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Reading, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
People say I'm crazy. From ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look. plays the game. People say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice, designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball.
Sovereign minds.
Lost and confused.
Yes, asking the questions that nobody else will ask. Wading through the confusion.
There's no confusion.
Watching the wheels.
Yeah, we're not
We're not confused.
I wish I was.
It would make it a little bit easier.
I said wading through the confusion.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to be, you know, like philosophic here. Yeah. Trying to be enlightened.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have Lori
all
on
right,
the line.
All right, blow get up the hip.
I'm just saying. Good morning, Lori. You got a quick announcement or something for us?
Yep, super quick. Since you launched your program with the Cheryl Atkinson and the media, we are doing a free screening this coming Saturday, October 15th at the Reading Library, 3 p.m., and we'll be screening Psy War. And this is about the media, corruption, deceit, propaganda, kind of like the thought control, mind control, different words you can use for that. But we are all just citizens to consumers, and we definitely have our issues here locally. So I appreciate, and if Red can re-mention the ideal list of, he started saying Canada Free Press, Zero Heads, something or another. If you could repeat that slowly, I'll listen off air. Thank you.
Well, before you go, Lori, what time?
3 o'clock.
Okay. That's
at the
Saturday?
Reading Library. And Dane will be there for some Q&A. We certainly have had our long-standing issues with the Record Searchlight and the television and all of the mainstream. Thankfully, you guys are around and continue. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, Lori.
Right.
We appreciate it.
Okay. Say the list, Red. Thanks.
All right. Slowly, of course, we'll start with the Shasta Lantern. I know those guys. They work very hard at vetting their information. They put out very good stuff on everything from finances to what's going on globally.
Your only source of news, your only team, your only...
So there's, of course, the Shasta Lantern. Zero Hedge is excellent on financial news, things like that. Canadian Free Press is amazing. They cover a wide range of things. Agenda 21 Radio, you can find a lot of good stuff on there. Flash Report is good for anything to do with the governor or California. Their Flash Report's team is amazing.
California Political Review
is fantastic, too.
I like goldsilver.com for financial stuff and then some. I mean, they do a lot of research for you, and they vet the stories and bring them in to their website. That's good. Dennis Michael Lynch is not a bad guy on a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, he's got some good information.
He's got some good information.
The Corbett Report is amazing.
Yeah, there's just all of these different sources that you start looking at and going to and start trusting. You know, Red focuses on a different part of the equation. I focus more on the financial and economic equation because that's kind of my bag of tricks. But, you know, and looking at the overall world economy, the global, and what's happening there. But, you know, you get to a point where you start trusting these sources because they're not lying. Because you really got two camps here. Either we're just tinfoil hat wearing, you know, knuckle dragon, Neanderthalic type people. Nobody's stopping me.
And then
stopping me here.
I'm not saying a word. I'm new. Yeah.
Somebody stop me.
Well, and,
hey, if you want to hang yourself, go, yes, let it go.
Go with it. Go with it.
Or, you know, or we're either telling the truth and they're lying, or they're telling the truth and we're lying. Or misleading, misinformation, the, not right. You know,
the other ones that you've got to really, really watch out for that have become way more prevalent and are very bad are the privateer press, the clickbait guys that have these outrageous headlines and these, you know, these things you see on Facebook or social media and automatically go, what the hell?
The Onion.
And you click it and it's nothing but a bunch of
satirical
nonsense.
Crap. Yeah, satirical. Yeah. Like The Onion is classic for that.
Yeah, The Onion's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to be funny, you know, but some
people
think
you,
that
you
seriously.
Click it, you get the headline, and then you get a sentence, you know, that starts an article and then says, click here for more, and then it's a Viagra ad or, you know, the 25 hottest women of the Rio Olympics. It's all clickbait junk. You gotta really vet that out, too.
So, Vin, let us know what's happening on Wednesday, where, when, what time.
Well, the veterans, Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council, we represent 27 organizations throughout Shasta County. We basically looked at this and said, you know what, there's a void. There's basically not anyone really projecting what we would consider to be an objective perspective on these things. Everybody seems to be trying to spin it. And so we looked at these things. We just did one that was a candidate forum where people actually could sit just like we are right now, just a couple feet away from each other and really dig into the issues. And there was no time limits. There was no nothing. It was tell me what your solutions are and so on. We wanted to do the same thing for some of the measures and some of the propositions. So Measure D and E will be a focus for us, Proposition 61. And if we get the speakers for it, we're going to dig into a couple of the other propositions as well. I think Prop 57 is a big focus for us as well. So it's just a chance for you guys to, or anybody out there listening, to come, say what's on your mind, ask questions, talk about the things that are out there. And quite frankly, we're going to really put a focus on what is an alternative, what other things are out there that you would be comfortable with and would feel comfortable moving forward on.
And that's at the Veterans Hall at 1605 Yuba Street. But what time?
At 6 o'clock on Wednesday the 12th.
Okay. So for everybody out there, it's 6 o'clock on Wednesday at the Veterans Hall.
Well, while we're doing some announcements, we also have the Shasta County is hosting the next assembly for the state of Jefferson on October 30th. They're looking for help, for people to help them serve the lunch and so forth. So you can get a hold of Sally and help her out with that. And that's the second state, the second Jefferson Formation Assembly, and that's October 30th, 8:30 to 4 p.m. at the Senior Center on Benton Drive in Reading.
And don't forget, we get the stand down coming at the Anderson Fairgrounds. I believe it's the 20th, 21st, and 22nd this year for them down there. That's for all the veterans and their families can go down there. And there's clothing. They hold court down there if they have any problems with in the court system. Dentists, doctors, barbers, the whole nine down there. So, again, that's at Anderson Fairgrounds, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
And they could really use volunteers. So if you're out there and you feel like you'd like to be a part.
Yeah, we'll always take volunteers. Yep. I'm usually in the kitchen with a bunch of the ladies and yeah, we'll always take help. So if you, and you don't have to do 3 or 4 hours, only a couple hours or whatever you can spare is always nice to have help in that department down there. So.
If you're an AmeriCorps member, I've heard a rumor that you guys want to help. So reach out. You've got the number. Get a hold of us and let's get you scheduled.
Very
so
good.
There you go.
There's also the big debate tonight at 4 p.m. Yay! I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like going to the dentist or.
And we get, don't forget, we're getting close to Veterans Day, and we'll have the Veterans Day Parade in Shasta Lake coming up.
November 5th.
Yeah. Also, I need to let people know we got the Redding Gun Show coming in November, November 12th and the 13th, and that is at the Holiday Inn Convention Center on Hilltop, 1900 Hilltop. And this is the one that Patrick Jones puts on. Over there, so come show your support.
And next weekend is the 51st State Gun Show in Yreka at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, there you go. Also, I guess we have the Marine Ball coming up.
Yes, we do.
It's the 241st.
Hurrah.
On November 10th, just the day before
Thursday, November 10th.
So if
busy time.
Going to practice today.
It is. If you want more information on that or you want to buy some tickets, they're having a gun drawing at that. I know the dinner tickets are $35. You can call Mike at 524-7595. Again, the number is 524-7595.
Well, for my part, whatever anguish of spirit it might cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. And my name's Patrick Henry today.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because how can you make legitimate decisions if you don't know the
whole
truth?
Well, that's it. I mean, are you going to, you know, just base your life on lies? You know?
Some people have.
I have another one.
No, I do not intend on running for office anytime soon.
Here's another one, and this is from Frederick Bastiat. Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. And so that's kind of what we're talking about. It all comes back to our life, our liberty, and our property, the ability to take care of ourselves, our children, and our families. You know, in a free society where we were able to reap the benefit of our labor as opposed to having it siphoned off by unseen hands from, you know, all levels of government and agencies worldwide.
Being dictated to. That's not where
recognizing the lack of courage. I read an excerpt from George Washington. He was writing to one of his personal friends after they had moved out of Boston chasing put them all on ships and chased them away from there. They were moving towards New York, and one of his biggest concerns was not the troops that were already going to be there or the naval superiority that obviously the Brits had, but it was what he called the Tories and the loyalists that were actually within there. He basically were afraid to support the patriotic movement because of fear and because of their own greed, because they were actually part of the system. And right now, that's what we're seeing, is a lot of these people are afraid to actually stand up and do what's right because they're afraid of either one, that somehow will be defeated, and then they'll be on the losing side, which is a dishonorable stance of its own, or two, they're basically loyal to their own greed. And it's just amazing to read his letters and read, you know, and apply them to now.
Yeah, it kind of makes the joke I was going to tell not sound as good.
Kind of shot a hole in that one, huh?
Play me again, please.
I was going to say, what do you get when you cross a politician and a potato? A dictator. Sorry. You know, I could.
Nice.
That's great.
Oh boy.
Well, we want to thank you for coming in, Vic.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate that and all the information, and keep us, you know, everything that's going on, and let us know how it turns out.
Absolutely.
And what the people say and do there. That would be great.
Got a new website out there, readingtownhall.com. So go out and look at it.
All right. Thanks again.
All right. I guess I got to get down to the wire here and do my thing. Let's start. quit laughing, Bob. How much time?
Where's the crickets again? Crickets.
Don't expect God to cover for you. You have to step up. You were born original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. How was that? You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. Put principles above parties. Liberty over security. Truth over lies. Go ahead, Bob.
Eggs over easy. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. The news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino.
Discussion of women has turned the Republican Party upside down and added another layer of drama to the presidential race. Trump returns to the debate stage with Hillary Clinton this evening as more than a dozen GOP lawmakers announced this weekend they would not vote for Trump. Vowing never to quit, Trump will try and tamp down the crisis at the Washington University debate. Greg Clugston, St. Louis.
A second death related to Hurricane Matthew has been reported in South Carolina. National Hurricane Center forecaster Todd Kemberlain says that Matthew is moving away from the coast, but continues to be a factor of concern.
It still has hurricane force winds, 75 miles per hour, but it is a post-tropical cyclone, so it's no longer a tropical cyclone. Regardless, it's still